Okay, good morning. Welcome. I'll call this meeting to order, the Permanent Community Impact Fund Board, August 3rd, 2023 at 9 a.m. Welcome, everyone. Thanks for being here. First, we'll start off with welcome introductions. Start down here on this end, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Mayor Dean Baker, Naples City, representing UNA County.
Scott Bartholomew, representing Six County Association of Governments.
My name is Bruce Adams. I'm a San Juan County Commissioner. I represent the Southeastern Utah AOG. I missed the last meeting, so I have a couple of things I want to say.
Uh-oh. Please.
It is not raining in Monticello, but I can see it raining on the western side of the state, and I can see it raining in Salt Lake. But we're dry.
Thank you, Commissioner.
How do you talk that way?
Not much. Good morning. Nagi Zanadi from Cool and Breezy St. George. And representing UDOT Commission. And I can see from there any place in the world.
Morning, Chris Piper with the Utah Attorney General's Office. I serve as legal counsel.
Thank you. Good morning. Curtis Wells, Chairman of the Permanent Community Impact Fund Board, representing rural Utah.
Good morning, everyone. Jerry Taylor, Garfield County Commissioner, representing Five County AOG.
Good morning, Kurt Slaw. I'm the Deputy State Treasurer, but I'm representing the State Treasurer on this board.
Ralph Brown represents Sevier County.
Greg Miles, Duchesne County Commissioner, representing Duchesne County.
Thank you. Next, item two, upcoming meeting dates, August 3rd. Well, looks like that's a typo. We're skipping September's meeting, correct?
Yes.
And then we are October 5th. That's okay. How does October 5th look for everyone?
So far, so good.
Okay. Any objections to the October 5th meeting? Nope. Okay, we'll plan to meet October 5th here at the lovely Department of Workforce Services office building. And next we'll do the financial review with Kaylee Beck. Welcome.
Can you zoom that in so I can see them? So this report, Candace introduced it last month. It's a little bit different than what she normally presents for people that have minds like mine, that are financial. Things work better in columns than in rows, so that's basically the difference here. Candace's provides a little more detail on which projects are available. Mine is just a lump sum. But the numbers that you see on this report are the same as Candace's report if Brenda shows that one next. But the total you have available, oh, there we go. So if you come down here, this is what you're used to seeing. The total available revenue that you have in the mineral lease fund right now is $30,278,000. And in the bonus fund, you have $18,431,000. If you were to approve everything that was presented to you last month and this month in mineral lease balance as it stands right now, you'd have $9 million remaining. In the bonus fund, you'd have a negative $16 million remaining. And then, Brenda, can you go back to the other one really quick? Okay, so the other difference between the report that you're used to seeing in this report is we do a forecast of revenue that we expect that we may have come into the fund. So right now, you'll have one more month of revenue before the next funding meeting. And so we project that between mineral lease and the bonus fund, you'll earn another $6 million that you can put out for projects. That's just an estimate based off the last 12 months of revenue that we received. We hope it's low and you do get more, but if you were to get that same amount, the projects that are presented today and last month, you would have $20.5 million remaining in the mineral lease fund and $15.2 negative remaining in the bonus fund. And that would be your financial status. Any questions? Yes.
Can I hear some rumor that you'd found $14 million somewhere?
No. No, I did not find $14 million.
All right. Maybe that was just a rumor then.
Got him excited anyway.
I was hoping we'd have more money to deal with. But.
Spent.
Maybe next time I'll find it for you.
Yeah. Could you look a little harder?
I will.
You want to comment on that, Ms. Powers?
Yeah, I did. I did. In our original numbers, we had original numbers. Katie went through them last night.
Okay.
And there were some numbers that were corrected.
Okay. Darn it. Okay.
Sorry.
But we still have until October, so.
That's true.
Okay.
I don't think that we'll have a lot of red by then, because we can take the loans right now with interest bearing. The projects that have been submitted, they are being accounted for in the bonus, which is why you see the red.
Mm-hmm.
But they can be accounted for in the mineral lease, which is the one that gets the deposits lately. So we will take loans out of the mineral lease, not just grants. We can take loans. So we will amend those numbers. We will adjust and take some of the loans out of the mineral lease. So there will not be red if we have enough revenue.
So you
won't see
almost $3 million remaining. If you did the swap from the bonus to the mineral lease, you'd have $5 million remaining at the end of the funding meeting, if there's not more projects. But
there won't
be
more projects.
My reading was wrong, because it looks like we're still $10 million in the hole after we do that.
But you get about $3 to $4 million deposited monthly, which is what the projection
is. That not
is.
In the forecast?
So
if you look at the third...
Not on
the,
this one.
The third green line.
Hold on.
The third green line, that
this
5
is
million,
the forecast.
That is what we'd have remaining if you netted the mineral lease and bonus fund together.
Oh, got it. I see. Yeah.
And the one that has the yellow where we highlight when we're concerning the applications on this meeting,
okay,
that's where we have allocated all of the loan applications out of the bonus, but we wouldn't. And that was as of July 21st, so there will be more. So you'll see the change on the funding meeting. We have moved things to make sure that there's not a zero balance. We can't move any grants into the bonus. So if the bonus was the hefty balance, you'd have some hard decisions to make. But
right,
since you've allocated them in loans, we can take them out of the bonus and the mineral lease.
Kurt, I've heard a rumor that the treasurer's office has a lot of extra cash laying around that hasn't been claimed.
$16 million.
I'm going to request it for CIB.
I was looking under the safe the other day, and there's a few gold bars under there that we forgot about. So
we just need one of them.
Yeah.
any other questions for Ms. Beck? Thank you.
One more question. This, I just to be certain, it includes everything that's on the list today.
Yes.
At the requested amount? Is
yes.
that how you've
everything, yeah.
accounted for it, as requested?
Yes.
Okay.
Well,
no.
You've already discussed some, so some of it came from the priority list.
But I'm talking about the ones for today.
All included, yeah.
They're all included as requested. Okay, all right.
Okay, thank you, Kim. Item 3 on the agenda is approval of minutes from the July 6, 2023 meeting. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Moved by Chairman Sonnati, seconded by Commissioner Taylor. Any discussion on that? Seeing none. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, say nay. Motion carries. Item 4, new projects. First project we have, item 4-1, is for the Upper Community Recreation District. $1,170,585,000 in grant, $585,000 in loan, 30 years at 0% for the Altamont Rodeo Grounds renovation. We'll welcome the applicants to the table here. Ms. Powers, while they're coming to the table, do you want to provide any comments on the project?
Thank you. This is number 4.1 on the agenda. It should be noted in the meeting that Commissioner Lytle is not in attendance and Ms. Hansen is not in attendance today at this time. So as we discuss the applications going forward, if they do arrive, we'll note it. This is for rebuilding the Altamont Rodeo Arena. You can see the description that has been provided. In the public hearing, the first phase will consist of rebuilding the arena. So this is phase one. They've been working on this for a while. They say that they have 10 acres of rodeo grounds. My question would be, is it recorded? Because when we allocate or close the bond, all land must be recorded and titled. It also says that you've referred to the donated bleachers from Duchesne High School, but then that amount is also included in the estimate for bleachers. So are the bleachers donated, or will CIB be funding that as well? Those are questions I have on this project.
Thank you. Please introduce yourselves to the board and provide any comments or summary for your request.
Okay. My name is Jack Wood. I'm the chairman of the Upper Community Recreation District. I have with me today Anissa Maxfield on my right. She is one of our board members and is primarily over the financials of what we're doing. Next to her is Brett Reynolds. He's our CIVCO engineer that's on this project. Behind me with a hat is Johnny Thane. He's not on our board, but he's one of our integral parts of the rodeo committee. He's been part of this rodeo for decades, and so we use him as a resource because he's both participated and announced and been involved in it. And over on his left is Sherry Holgate. She is actually the person on our board that's over the rodeo and the group of rodeo members, committees, and so forth. So those are the people that are with us today. As far as questions to be answered, yes, the deed is recorded. Yep. Pretty sure. I remember signing it.
Yeah. Is.
And, in fact, I remember taking it to the title company. So, yeah, it's recorded. It's in our name, and we're taxed on it. As far as the bleachers go, they were donated by Duchesne High School.
After we already had the plan in place.
I don't think we intend to keep those. They were not in pristine condition when we got them. We thought we could get a couple of years out of them as we work through this process. And so I think our intent at this point is to replace new bleachers, new arena, everything as we get going. But they'll do for the interim. And if you knew what we had before, it's a step up. So that's where we're at on that.
And they're not covered, and we'd like to go cover bleachers.
Right. Okay, any other questions on that before we go any further? Is that good? Okay, Mr. Chairman, I don't know how much time, 4, 5, 6 minutes. Is that good?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, what I'm gonna propose to do is we've been to a series of meetings. We've met with the Association of Governments. We've met with the County Commission, and each time we do, we have a series of questions. So what I have done is written up some things that we've been doing. I thought I'd go through that. And if there are any questions after that, we'll fill those questions. If I can't fill them, the rest of these people with me probably can. So let me just jump into this. The Recreation District was created to address recreation issues in our little communities of Altamont, Altona, Arcadia, Bluebell, Mount Emmons, Bonita, Mountain Home, Talmadge, and Upalco. A bunch of small communities all centered around Altamont, Utah. And all of this, if you're not familiar with the areas, you drive through Highway 40, you'll never see us. We're north of Duchesne and north of Altamont. We're the north third of the county up to the UNS. So that's where we're at. The main reason we started this organization or wanted to get started on this was for the rodeo arena. We looked at this. It's been a while now, probably a decade or better that we've been working on this. And we began by speaking with the other rodeos around us, the Taviano Rodeo, the Neola Rodeo, and, of course, the Duchesne County Rodeo, and ask them how they got to where they got to. The rodeo district, the rodeo in Duchesne does not have a recreation district. The other two do. And so that's what we determined was the way they got funding was going through a rodeo or through a recreation district. And so that's the avenue we chose to follow. The county rodeo has a different scenario where they have county commission backing and funding to help them to make that happen, which the other two, now three, don't have. But I believe all three have been here looking for financial assistance through the CIB. Now, this rodeo started. We're not even sure when this rodeo started. We've been talking to old-timers. We're not positive. We know it was there probably pre-World War II, but as we talk to people, we've got old-timers around that worked on it after World War II when they were in high school, and so they donated a serious amount of time and money to get that happening. So we know it's settled. We think it started, we're pretty sure it started as an LDS ward, different wards having a rodeo, and then it branched into a community rodeo, and it's grown from that. And all of that has been done with donated time and effort. There are several things we would like to update there, including the parking and the fencing and access to the site. Also, some safety things we're trying to take care of and been working on. We turn people away every year because we can't get them in. And we also know we have participants that won't come because they're not familiar. Well, that's not the right word. They're not comfortable with our site. So we want to get that brought up to speed. Now, this rodeo has been a way of life in our area since the basin was opened for homesteading in 1905. People came there to practice, show, demonstrate their skills and abilities and I'll call it horsemanship, cattlemanship, whatever you want to call that, areas. In fact, we have three young men right now, a professional rodeo, in the circuit that started at Altamont. One of them is 12th in the world in steer wrestling, and the other one's 8th in bareback. And we also have a young lady who I think is in barrels. Well, we've had some professionals come out of this system, and so we're proud of them and the things they've done. But they started in these humble beginnings that we're talking about. Now, in regards to funding, we explored other options, and mostly what we found was any options for funding a rodeo had to do with running the rodeo, not what we're talking about, so not construction infrastructure. Anyway, it took some time to get this district up and running. It took about a decade. Right now, we're up and running. We have an annual budget of about $100,000. With that money, we do several things besides the rodeo. We give money to two different parks, one city park and one non-city park, just a community park. We give money to the our community effort, our community celebration, which we call Longhorn Days, which is held every year around the 24th of July. We give money to I'll call it the backbone of our local sports, if you want to call it Little League Baseball, soccer, junior jazz. We're behind that and giving them money for jerseys and referees. And anyway, now let's break that down for you real quickly. We give the Altamont Park, by the way, I should tell you, we give the city park money. It's kind of unusual. We give them money because most of our Longhorn Day celebration is held at the city park. So to offset that extra impact that we give them some money. Anyway, we give Altamont Park $15,000. We give Bluebell Park $15,000. We give the rodeo $15,000. We give Longhorn Days $20,000. We give U Sports $10,000. And then last year, as you have already been reading in our background, we spent a considerable amount of money setting up, well, first tearing down some unsafe grandstands, been there since we don't know when, with a giant hole in the middle. Should have been condemned. But anyway, we took those down and just barely got these bleachers from Duchesne High School back up in time for the rodeo, which has been a great thing. We still had more people than we can handle. Now, as far as the funding from the CIB is concerned, we proposed that the way we did because we feel that's we can afford to do it that way. Of course, we're open to changes and suggest if we can't do that. We also want to let you know we're working this in phases. This isn't all. This is phase one. Now, we did consider other rodeo facilities in the area. We talked about them already. We determined that those were too far away and they didn't coincide. The availability for those sites was not going to coincide with the things that we're doing, so we didn't go that route, and that they're frequently booked. So after several public meetings and talking to the public, we determined that the rodeo facility is what we want or what we need, and if you watch and listen to the community, you'll find that that's what they're requesting. And most of the residents have been to the rodeo for the rodeo, for the a high school bonfire, a rodeo queen contest, a paintball war, you name it. If we can do it, we'll do it there. We just have to find a way to make it a better place. And it's still used today. The roping club's there once a week. There's a couple of riding clubs that go there, so it's regularly used. Now, just as a gee whiz thing, we were talking about this after we talked to the Association of Governments meeting, and we were talking about the oil field use in the area. And I'll talk about this a little bit more in detail here, but I just went through my community. I didn't go through all the communities, and I could, but the results would be the same. But I went through my community. I did not count retired households. I just went through households because I know who they are and where they live and where they work. And there were 128 households. Out of the 128 households, 60 of them worked directly in the oil field. 68 of them were non-oil field, so they were the phone company, the power company, USU, whatever, the school district, the hospital. Now, all of those people have ties to the oil field. For example, the power company does a lot of their work in the oil field along with the phone company. But anyway, so 60 of them were working directly out of the oil field. And that would be the same across all the communities. That was just one out of five. There's more than five, but the five major ones. So the oil field is a major employer. And then over the years, we felt the effects of the, I'll call it the impacts of the oil and gas industry. I'm just giving a little example. My in-laws, my father-in-law, mother-in-law, used to own a business called the Bluebell Store. It's still there. They just don't own it anymore. They've turned it on to other entrepreneurs. But when the oil field first came in, they drilled that Altamont Bluebell gas and oil field extensively. And when they did, they moved those rigs around. And the way they did that was they would load them up on a trailer, and they'd hook a semi-truck in the front, and they'd take another semi and turn it backwards and hook it on the back. And with that push-me-pull-you apparatus, they'd pull that equipment around in the community and drilled all those wells that were done starting about 1972. Well, when they did that, as they rounded the corners at the Bluebell Store, they would turn up that asphalt like a tractor turning up a field. And, of course, this was all pre-CIB, so the county commission, this would be before Commissioner Miles, had to come back and fix all those roads. But my point is, that's just one. I can tell you several. We've had the impacts of the oil field in the area. We work there. We're familiar with it. We're willing to work with them. We know what it is. But at this point, our discussion is that we don't want to lose the rodeo facility. It's a part of our community identity, and so we're here to respectfully request serious consideration on our proposal. I don't have anything more to add to that unless you have questions, and I'm sure you do.
Yep. Before we do that, let's let the record show that Commissioner Lytle joined us at 9:15 a.m. Welcome, Commissioner.
Thank you. Better late than never.
That's right. Questions for the applicants? Comments?
So you mentioned this is a phase one. Of the rodeo facility. How much do you expect phase two to cost, and where do you plan to get the funding for phase two? Are you going to come back?
Of course, we will be back. We've got some preliminary estimates. Brett, did we go two or three? We had three phases, didn't we?
Go back to the drawing there.
Yeah, there was a.
Yeah, we actually went up to five phases.
That's what I thought.
So that. Go ahead. Is that light area?
Yeah. Phase two would be a minor cost to do phase two. We cut that out because we didn't think we could afford phase two at this point. Phase three, which is very much needed, and quite frankly, got a lot of pushback from a lot of people saying we want phase three, like pushed up big time, because right now they using porta potties, and that would be another $500,000 or so. And then phase four is a big ask. That's a couple million dollars for the community center, and have a lot of more discussion to do on phase four. And then phase five would be the paving, which would be. So we're talking, you know, $3 or $4 million to get this done.
And you don't have any other funding sources identified other than CIB? Or?
We have looked at getting this here first phase done. Once we get past this here first phase, then we will explore other sources. But
a lot of the sources that were available to us are based on putting on rodeos and putting on things. There's grants for that. But the initial construction has not been included that we've been able to find.
There are also, as you know, there's also funding out there in the terms of loans and all that. And so with their budget, they can't afford too much of a loan without totally spending all their budget on the loan repayments.
We've set aside $15,000 of our budget a year for capital improvement projects, and right now that would be what we would use to cover the cost of the loan until that was paid off. So we will need additional sources of revenue if, you know, based on our current budget structure, because we only have $100,000 per year.
Commissioner Lytle.
Sorry, I missed your presentation at the UBAG meeting, so I apologize. And it'll sound like a bass-ackwards deal, but thank you very much for coming first, because we've got a similar ask someday up in Manila. But I do have a few questions. Please don't take them as criticism. They're just informational to help us make the decisions we need to. What is your mill levy right now?
The percentage?
That makes
I'm not sure of the percentage, but...
0.004?
Yes.
0.004?
Yes. And that's to gather $100,000 annually.
Okay. What's your annual production cost on your rodeo?
It costs us about $7,000 a year it on.
What's the, not what it costs you, I guess I asked wrong, but what's your total budget per year?
For the rodeo.
To put on your rodeo.
So we give the rodeo grounds $15,000. That's to cover things like electrical, water,
right.
The stock charges. So that's what we have budgeted.
For your annual rodeo?
Yes.
Do you produce the rodeo?
Yeah.
As a
in conjunction right now with the roping club. They're the ones who sold us the land. So this is our second year of helping them put it on.
Okay.
So we're still working out that. It has only cost them about $7,000 to do that. So we have a little bit of a cushion to help maintain, the improvements that we have.
And your seating is what right now?
we fit 1,500 into the rodeo, but we really only have seating about 1,500. Okay. But we only have seating for about 500. A lot of standing.
So does your pardon me for the details,
but
it's going to help. It'll come together in a minute. But so does your gate cover the cost of production? Are you an Emmy rodeo right now?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, with Rocky Mountain?
No.
Okay, so you're trying to build it up.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Because
local kids come and do it. Most
like
of the
Mineola Rodeo and
yes.
Others. Okay.
Most of the professionals won't bring their
no.
Won't bring them there because of the condition of the rodeo grounds right okay. now.
And what conditions your dirt?
Not good.
How much of your project is dirt right now?
It's all dirt.
Cost is to fix your dirt?
That's an annual thing.
That's built into this, and then it's built into that. One of the things that we have done is one of the problems they have is that they really don't have an exterior fence to kind of control that. So they have a lot of people that don't necessarily pay the fees and all that. So part of this is to actually control who.
So this is kind of a scratch start, really.
Yeah.
In terms of getting it to be right in the long run.
Just to try and get it to be right when we get into it and really. We've done our best job to figure out what the cost of this is, but never comes out right. And so as we get into it more and get contractors on board, donations and all that, then we will have to see what we can and cannot do.
We would like to do all of those phases at the same time and have a phenomenal place, but our budget right now is not, we just didn't feel that we could ask that of the community or raise the taxes. So we really tried to stay within the budget of what we had, that what we could actually afford, but still make it doable for our community and a stepping stool to what we wanted to do later on.
Okay.
Also,
and say your name for the record.
Johnny Thane.
Yeah, John.
What we've done this summer is to get those bleachers in there and get the old tore down.
Uh-huh.
What was the hours of?
Almost 600.
600 hours, and that isn't man hours. That's equipment hours. That's uh-huh. how much. Equipment was donated in to help us with telehandlers, equipment to set those in and set them up. We also used other entities to come in, and we hired them. Who was the group that we brought in?
House of Hope.
House and House of Hope.
Donated.
Down on Fayo Canal.
Yeah, and it's helped us immensely get it set up for just this year. But we do that every year. Electrical, we'll have a local electric guy come in and redo the lights, make sure all the lights are working. For facilities, we have donations for outdoor porta potties.
So you've done a lot, even though it doesn't show up on your books because it'd be pre-project, but you've done a lot to try and get this ready in terms of in-kind or cash even.
Exactly.
So.
And the main emphasis here is to make sure that the rodeo can keep going. As
right.
You mentioned bleachers safe. That were falling down, dirt that's not there. So, you know, once we get it to where it's a usable, continue to be a usable facility, then we'll work at making it even better.
It's built on a rocky foundation there. We grow boulders in that area when they come to the surface.
Hard pan is really fun.
Yeah, it is. But as those rocks come up, the ladies' riding club, they pack the rocks off. The ropers use the arena the next week. The ladies pack the rocks.
That's part of our practice. We move the rocks.
What the hell are the ropers doing? Other than roping.
Stairs, that's all they do.
They don't want to pick up rocks.
No. They leave that to us.
You understand the team of
let's not go there. Let's not go there. Because then somebody will start talking about barrel chasers.
Yeah. We don't talk about this.
Yeah. So thank you for your indulgence. The reason I'm getting into the weeds a little bit is because you're very aware of where we're at in our funding, I suspect, and our ability and our revenue and other asks and how the hierarchy of how we try and pay things. So I'm trying to find ways to see where it in your benefit, and also as a producer county, producer area, between natural gas and oil both, with the hub up there, it's been too long. I used to call it coastal, but what is it?
Javelin.
Huh?
Javelin.
Javelin is the old coastal hub or whatever.
Kinder Morgan.
So in terms of impacted areas, you certainly have had your share and produced a lot. Just from that local area even. So I'm grateful for your help on the revenue side of our work. But we've got to figure out in terms of needs and wants. And so I get it, but my questions are more to try and build that base in terms of the importance of it to your community as well. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Commissioner Adams, please.
Well, I've been to the National Final Rodeo, so I consider myself a rodeo cowboy. Even though I've been in the cattle business, I've never roped or rode a bronc or anything like that, Dean. But I need a little clarification. You've asked for a...
Were you a bull rider?
There's me and bull fit together in another way.
Okay.
So you've asked for a half grant and a half loan, and I'm just trying to figure out how you came up with that. You said in your presentation you were going to allocate $15,000 a year to pay off the loan. You take $15,000 at 0% for 30 years, that's only $450,000. And you're asking for a loan for $585,000. So I'm kind of wondering what you're thinking.
So the rodeo grounds is allocated an additional $15,000 a year in the budget. So that's as we work with the rodeo club to take over the rodeo and get those proceeds, that fund would grow, and some of those funds would be used initially to help with the rodeo grounds. Because right now we're paying the bills and we're doing receipts for the rodeo, but there is extra there in that extra $15,000. So we have a $15,000 for capital improvement, and then we also have $15,000 for the rodeo grounds.
So technically you could have $30,000, yes, which would more than be enough to pay the loan off. Yep. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, I just taught fifth grade math, so that's...
Well, we were not trying to give it all away.
I'm sorry. One more thing. I know the need versus want question has come up quite a bit. I do the books for 15 oil field guys. I see them putting in 18-hour days. I see the toll that it takes on the men and the families in our community, and they need a place to recreate. They need a place to let off the steam. I figure the mitigation, what we're doing is making it so that these guys can continue to work and their families can continue to thrive in these small places that have been highly impacted by oil and gas. So I know that when we come with the rodeo grounds, it seems like a want, but to those boys that I see grinding and welding every single day on the oil field, for them, it is a need to help their mental ability. I thought I would just add that in.
Thank you.
Yep.
The other thing, Bruce, is they definitely need to keep some money aside for operations and maintenance. You know, just because we do this, it's going to have to be maintained every year.
Yeah, if you had $60,000 available, you could definitely pay off $585,000 and still have, you know, you have $300,000 or $400,000 over the 30-year period. So I understand that.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
I'd like to go a little bit further on Jack's line of questioning there. I don't think there's anybody that questions your the mental need of this type of a facility. But in the past, if we've been short of money, we have funded, let me put it another way, in the past, the funding for a recreational project has been the last thing that we've funded. Okay? So my question is could this be delayed until more revenues come in? Especially in light of Kurt's question there, where you're going to come back for more funding again and again and again. Hate to get you into the middle of this and then all of a sudden no funds.
One of the things why we phased it the way we phased it is because this is the essential part of the project. The rest of it, the rest of it needs to be done, but this is what is required to keep it operating in an operational status, kind of operating how they are, but in a safe condition. So that's why this phase is separated from the other phases as the bare bones minimum that we can do.
Okay. One other comment on that. Phase two, I think it was, or three, was your restrooms. And you said that you was going to do them for $500,000. We're just going through the same process, and thank goodness for some ARPA money to come in, because they started out at $1.2 million, and we finally put them out, cut them back, and put them out for bid for $750,000. This is information.
Commissioner Zanotti, do you have a comment?
Yes, I do, please. Well, I love rodeo. I have a passion, personally. In fact, I'm the record holder for the mutton busting. Don't ask. And it was three lengths of the Sun Bowl Arena. And the reason I did that, because they glued me to the sheet.
No welcome.
And I love to be part of your arena. It is just a good thing to do for the communities like yours. But it's unfortunately, of course, the fund is not there, the availability is not there, and you need to consider some other alternatives. And we love every one of them. The cowboy next to me, every year I sit behind him in the rodeo grounds in the Las Vegas National Finals. And it is just that. It is a good thing to have, to attract all the people, not only from your own communities, from communities around you, and visitors, tourists. But unfortunately, at this stage, it is challenging for us. You see the red line on our charts. You see the little bit of a concern about the treasure. Deputy treasurer's always concerns about that, how we're going to pay for this, because he's going to write the check anyway. And so we're going to try to make sure that you're happy with whatever you ask for, but at the same time, you have to also give us the opportunity to work with you. And am I concerned the same thing, that $500,000 for the seats? First of all, we don't use porta potties, right? We use honey buckets in this setting. It's as much
trees.
Three. But $500,000 for the seats, are they flushers that gold-plated or what they are? Who's offering you that? Can you use stuff from the other facilities to at least at this stage? You are right 100%. If you want to attract quality people to come, you need to give them some accommodations. Better than hot dog stands, I promise you that. But help us to help you with some kind of ways. Maybe you need to go back and recalculate things and come back. Or if you're at the stage, you need to take something that we can offer today. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Do we have a motion?
With everything that's been said,
if it's not doable, it's not doable. But I would go to the minimum, which would be $714,000 loan, $456,000 grant, and at 30 years, 0% interest.
And that's a motion.
That is the motion.
Is there a second to the motion to fund at the minimum?
Maybe I'll make a comment really quick. So I think you've heard the concerns, and let me give you a little bit more background on my concern. Candace and I attended a water coordination meeting earlier this week, and we heard from all the revolving loan programs that fund water and sewer across the state. They got quite a bit of money in from federal sources, from ARPA, CARES Act. That's all been depleted, which is really disheartening for me because I know that we're facing so many pressures here at CIB, and I would have hoped that there would be some other revolving loan programs as a state that could come in and fund critical infrastructure. So imagine that you're in a small community and you have water lines that are breaking and you have no other way to get this paid for rather than to go to CIB, but we go to CIB and we said, sorry, we funded a rodeo park. How is that going to make you feel being part of that community and knowing that we've taken the money that is essential for you to just survive and gave it to somebody so that they could have a great recreational opportunity? And I'm not saying that this isn't a great opportunity. It isn't important because I understand your point. Like, you need places to recreate. I also understand that Duchesne County brings in a whole lot of money into CIB. And for that reason, like, I understand giving you money is different than giving it to a community in a county that doesn't bring in money. But what I'd like to see you do, because we do fund critical infrastructure, and I'm assuming that some of your funds are fungible, right? Like, I don't know if there's some road projects that you could maybe, you know, get the county involved to help fund this or get some skin in the game from the local community, because I think it's easy to say we can go to CIB and have this great recreational facility and nobody feels like, well, of course, who wouldn't want that, right? But if you have to have some skin in the game, there might be other ways where you can get the community involved like they have in the past to, like, donate their time, donate their equipment. You got a lot of equipment out there that could be used and donated in ways to make the project cheaper. And then at the same time, I would love to fund, you know, if the county's going to come in and be a partner in this, I would love to fund a road project that the county was going to take care of. Because I do understand, like what you were saying, when they round the bend and it tears up your roads because of the oil-filled equipment, that's the stuff I want to fund, right? I want to fund all that. And so if there's a way that you can kind of work with the county or others to get some funding for your project, and then the CIB can come in and do our part to fund those road projects. That's, to me, that's the more appropriate way to approach CIB, because I just don't feel comfortable giving to a recreational project when I feel like we've got a lot of backlog of essential infrastructure that's coming behind us. So that's my thoughts.
Thank you, Treasurer Slaw. We need to have a second on the floor for the motion before we continue with the deliberation. Is there a second to the motion?
Well, Chairman, let me jump in and then I'll make a second on that motion.
Okay, go ahead.
So I've kind of sat here quietly. I team roped for 30 years.
Do you pick up
rocks? I've been in the Alamo Roping Club arena there and roped. So I understand. I know what your facility's like and what it is. I've sit here and tried to figure out how we could come up and help you without making it feel like we were taken from somebody else. And I know I've been Valley Roping Club president 3 times and different things. In the process, of, we have our own little arena down there. We sponsor jackpots. We make money off of them. We, you know, we charge entry fees. We keep a portion that has to help to keep maintain the facility. I'm hoping you're doing some of that now, that, you know, pulling from the roping club and the barrel racing club and those things and trying to help them build it. And so it's one of those that I totally see it. And for my 30 years, I loved it. And it is important to have some avenue after you've worked all day to go somewhere and just have a good time recreating.
It's a cowboy mental health facility.
It is a yeah, it is. So I totally get it, but and I sat down and I, as I read through the packet, I kind of felt like I could support a minimum at what Jack has mentioned. So that's my second.
Okay, thank you. So
question.
Motion on the table, seconded by motion on the table, Commissioner Lyle, seconded by Mayor Baker. Comment, Commissioner Adams. Question.
I'm just wondering, Dean's been pretty adamant about interest rates the past couple of years. Are you advocating for 0% then on the minimum?
Well, it shows us on the minimum of the 0.5%, and I assume that's what Jack is doing unless he's doing
no, it shows zero.
It was a zero?
It shows zero on the minimum in line anyway.
Yeah, it was zero. It says zero. No, I would...
Minimum.
I'd like to see probably a 5%, 0.5%, I mean.
5% sold.
No. I messed up.
Wait
there.
A second.
That's
wait a
fine.
Second.
I think, but for producing counties, you know, up to a 0.5%, and I feel like that, where it's not, it is a other thing, I think, if Jack's consent.
I consider that a friendly amendment.
Okay, so we've got it. We've got an amendment to the motion. Concurrence by Commissioner Lytle. Question, comment, Commissioner Miles.
Well, thank you. I was ready to second, although it would have been in bad taste. Because full disclosure, I am from this taxing district, and I can see the Altamont Rodeo Grounds from my house, Bruce. I understand and I appreciate the comments from Mr. Slaw. Duchesne County is 11 and a half years behind in pavement preservation. We don't have the bandwidth to help. I can't offset money that I don't have. And so to say that, you know, go back to the county and see if you can't, you know, get the county to help you, we don't have it. We're using rainy day funds right now to fund pavement preservation projects in Duchesne County. And thank goodness it's a rainy day. This is a protection of the Western way of life, and I appreciate the comments that have been made, and I'm not saying anything. I'm saying a whole lot, but I'm not saying anything. I appreciate the community, this community board, and caring about the community and wanting to make things better, and I think it's a great project. That probably concludes my comments.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions before we take a vote on the motion? Commissioner?
Yes, thank you. Having been commissioner for 7 years, we went through these growing pains of the rodeo. We've doubled our size of our rodeo. We added 650 seats, aluminum bleacher seating. They weren't covered, but we used some county COVID money to do that. That might be someplace you could possibly look. And but we're having growing pains with parking and everything. We're not PCRA level yet, but we do have a lot of added money, so we're the highest payout rodeo at that level in the state. So it's attracting more and more, and we're growing. We have a little over 3,000 show up each night, and we've moved it to the weekend. And so we also, and you can find used stuff, we was able to purchase some sound equipment from the State Fair Park when they moved and got a new sound system. So anyway, there's some good vendors on the bleachers. It was all aluminum, freestanding. You put them together. So anyway, I'm very supportive of it all. We've got a guy that flies the big American flag in and skydives in each night at the rodeo, and it's become a crowd favorite. We're really growing. And I agree with the mental health issue part of it and everything else, but good project.
Commissioner Lytle?
Oh, I've got to remember where I was on it.
If I Mitch McConnell has those moments as well.
Somebody want to help him out?
Now you got me all the way off that.
Is there a doctor in the audience?
But I did not say what I was thinking. I may have inflected it. No, I think in terms of the... I guess what I'd like to see with the conversation that's gone on, and I realize that the minimum was it doesn't fit the budget you asked for, but in the event it were successful, the comments have been very, and I am very aware of what Treasurer Slaw said, but I just feel very strongly, it was kind of half in jest, full in earnest, in terms of it being a mental health facility of a form. I don't think I'm twisting it too badly. It maybe not by definitions that we're used to. But if you can stretch the money that we give you, whether it's loan or grant, the mix, whatever if we can give you anything, continue to value engineer it much tighter and maybe start stretching into your fund two or your phase two, three, or four. And I don't know what else we can give you if things don't turn around, if we can give you this. So that's kind of a commitment or a head nod that I'm looking for as well.
As the community has seen our seriousness in hiring an engineering firm, that's the first numbers that they gave us, I think with the minimum. And what we've seen from the community, they've come forward even since the rodeo, saying they would be willing to do things. I know that with the minimum, we could get what we need done, especially with the value adjustments and the in-kind donations that we've, you know, kind of got our ears on in the last month or so.
Okay, so with that, I'm sorry, I'm in the middle of getting ready for a rodeo that's coming up on Labor Day weekend. So, do you have a development plan or an idea? Are you headed toward PRCA at some point? Are you headed toward Rocky Mountain? Or do you
want to go Rocky Mountain?
RMPRA.
In order to get PRCA, you have to have stalls. You have to have a big facility. Duchesne County has just barely got to that.
Come to our rodeo. I've got tickets in the car in Manila to see what you can do on the PRCA or the Capitol.
Okay.
We put on the PRCA over Labor Day weekend, and I know that your engineer's been involved and been great. We've been grateful for that help, but there's ways to make it work. And if you've got a plan like that to where your revenue can start coming up, although costs go up, I just want to. It is a community park, but if to the point of other people asking for ways to make it come together, if you can get more revenue, more sharing in the facility, I think that's tremendous. So thank you.
Okay, Commissioner Bartholomew, and then we're going to need to take a vote.
Yep. Thank you for your indulgence.
Very very short comment. There again, I'm really concerned about this, and there are bleachers that are available. We got ours from a racetrack. Covered bleachers, that to me is a luxury. Maybe that's something that you could cut out.
And to go back to both your comments, we'd really like to get through phase three if we can. You know, so we're going to try and stretch everything we can, and with your guys' permission, if we can get into phase two, phase three, with the funds we have, we will.
Okay. We've there's been ample discussion. I don't mean to be shrewd, but we've got a lot of applications, and we need to let the board make a decision on this and move on. So,
could I ask one quick question, please,
sure.
to you if and to the board? If we were to put it on the pending and have them come back with some more value engineering, is that something that would make any sense, or is it better just to get to the vote?
Ms. Powers, go ahead.
If you put it on the priority list, they can still do value engineering and come back with a different cost scenario. And
okay.
if you can't fund it at the funding meeting October 5th, because it isn't funded today,
right?
Then you give them that chance. They have a couple of months to...
That's what I needed. Thank you.
Okay. Is that clear to the board?
Yeah.
Okay. Ms. Powers, please call for a roll call vote.
This is to fund the Upper Community Recreation District Altamont Rodeo Grounds renovation with a $714,000 loan, 30-year at 0.5%, and a $456,000 grant. Treasurer Slaw?
No.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Can I do a split vote?
It's on the priority list only.
Yes, with the request that you come back with the revised.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Next time, would you bring in an act of some sort?
Okay, next we have item 4-2.
Whoa. Everything
What's that? Fruitland Special Service District, $488,000 is a request, $244,000 in grant, $244,000 in loan, 15 years at a half a point for water system improvements for the Mill Hollow Lower Spring redevelopment and system metering. Welcome. Please introduce yourselves to the board.
Good morning. My name is Bonner Hardegree. I am the chairman of the Fruitland Special Service District. I'm joined here by our consulting engineer, Representative Mark Jensen, and our business manager, Shiloh Hatch.
Welcome. Brief summary or comments on the project?
Sure. Let me give you a brief summary. We are in Duchesne County. We're an adjunct of the Duchesne County Commissioners. As operating as a special service district, it's been in existence for something over 30 years. And we are primarily relying on springs that feed our water system, although we do have one 700-foot well that is an auxiliary backup for water supply. We have about 560-meter customers. We're an unincorporated community, so we're sort of the closest thing to Commissioner's Court in Fruitland as there is. We have undertaken previously a redevelopment of the Upper Mill Hollow Spring, and that project is underway at this time. What we're requesting here is a combination of the redevelopment of the Lower Mill Hollow Spring and some metering. This metering portion is not something that has anything to do with our collection or delivery of water services to our customers, but is being required of us by the State Engineer's Office. We are primarily a recreational community. Only about half of our customers are full-time residents of the area, but all 560 customers pay their monthly fees, but we don't utilize the amount of water that customarily would be utilized in a community of 560 paying customers. So what we're having to do here in order to comply with some state regulations is to meter the output from the springs, meter the flow coming into our storage facilities and flow out of our storage facilities. The cost of that project, not including engineering and contingency, is $109,000. The redevelopment of the spring is mainly just excavating around the spring, clearing debris, making sure that we're collecting water through the system like it's supposed to. We try to minimize groundwater contamination, which, you know, can be an issue, particularly when you have a day like this, because we do have livestock and wildlife in the area. We will also be improving the fencing and the source protection area around the springs. This is all just what we think is good common sense in order to protect the water sources that we have and that we have rights to. As far as the metering is concerned, we're happy to do this. It is not something that we would typically do were it not for the fact that the state is requiring us to establish exactly what our sources are producing and what we're delivering. Right now we have water rights that would allow us to distribute approximately 100 million gallons of water a year through the system. We're only distributing about 30 to 33 million, so our average standard monthly use is somewhere around 6,000 to 7,000 gallons. The state standard, however, is if you've got a meter connection, they apply an 18,000 gallon a month standard. So the metering is really important for us to establish that maybe should be entitled to some kind of a variance or waiver in terms of the state standard, so we can continue to grow on a reasonable basis. Right now, we are reducing the number of new applications to two per month in order to not run afoul of any state regulations. So that's essentially that's what we're asking for here. We're asking for half of it to be in the form of a grant of the $488,000, and the balance will be in the form of a loan. The district itself is in a very sound financial condition. We have about something in excess of $100,000 to $120,000 of annual free cash flow that we are being able to achieve. Part of that is funds coming in through new applications, water meter installations, and a portion of that, of course, is restricted funds as we collect money for impact fees as part of the new installations. Any questions of me?
Just real quick, Ms. Powers, I didn't give you the opportunity to provide any comments before we turn it over to the board. Anything you'd like to add regarding the project? No?
It's good. Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner Adams.
Yeah, I think this is a good project and probably a need. Only thing I'm thinking out loud here a little bit with the board is they've indicated they can afford a half grant, half loan, but they're asking for 0.5% interest. What if we took the medium and gave them less loan but raised the interest rate? Possibly that offsets each other. And
longer term.
And the long term
goes 30 years.
Right. Yeah.
Can you do 30 on water?
Apparently we can.
Yes, you can. We have done it.
Go ahead. Are you finished?
Yeah, I'll make that motion.
Okay, is there a second to the motion?
I'll second that.
Okay, second by Commissioner Taylor. Comments, discussion?
Could you restate the motion, please?
Bruce, restate the motion?
I'm proposing the medium, $181,000 loan, 30 years at 2%, $307,000 grant.
You concur with that, Commissioner Taylor?
I do.
Okay.
And that gives the half of the payment you had already anticipated. So there will be $8,000 payment rather than $16,000.
Any additional comments?
I have, Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Zanotti?
You've done a good job, but I wish you could add a little bit more details to your public hearing meetings. There's no indication that while you're coming before CIB, no indication if you get loan, how you're going to pay back. So if I was your constituent, taxpayer, I will ask that question from you as a board, that what are you doing? Where are you going and what kind of money are we responsible as a taxpayer to pay back? You don't have any indication in your minutes.
Okay. First of all, we do not tax. All of our income is derived from the sales of water services.
Right. Water rates.
Excuse me?
Rates.
Yeah, right.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Water rates, impact fees, and installation fees for new services.
Well, yeah, the constituent is going to ask you that if you're going to raise my impact fees or the water rates, what are you using it for and how are you going to pay back? So please be mindful of those public hearings. Just add extra little bit of a detail.
Thank,
Thank you, Chairman Zanotti. Additional comments, questions for the applicants? Any questions? Commissioner Bartholomew?
You need money for permitting. What's the permitting you need?
The environmental permitting services, that would just include any permits associated if there's any environmental surveys that need to be done, or and also any of the permitting for Division of Drinking Water and things like that. So,
Thank you. Additional comments, questions, discussion? Seeing none, Ms. Powers, I'll call for a roll call vote.
Did you get a second?
This is to fund the Fruitland Special Service District water system improvements at Mill Hollow Spring redevelopment with metering and appurtenances as the median funding tool, $181,000 loan, 30-year at 2%, and $307,000 grant. Treasurer Slaw?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes unanimously.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
You bet. Next up, we have item 4.3, Duchesne City, $2.7 million. Requesting $2,025,000 in grant, $675,000 in loan, 30 years, at 0% interest for the 2023 water and sewer infrastructure replacement. Area A, Blue Bench. Welcome, Ms. Powers. Any comments before I turn it over to the applicants?
That's good.
Good. Please introduce yourselves and provide a brief summary of the project.
I'm Mayor Rowley, Duchesne City, and this is Chuck Gretchen with Horx Engineers, our engineer.
Welcome.
And thank you. Thank you for looking at our application. We've had a lot of interaction with CIB, and we're happy to be back again. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Our project here is just on a declining infrastructure that we have, sewer and water in the city. We've took care of our downtown locations through several other projects, but this mainly focuses on the bench and the infrastructure that we haven't touched for, I think most of this was put in 1984. So very used up infrastructure.
Sure. Thank you. Questions for the applicants before we entertain a motion? Yes, Chairman Zanotti.
Thank you. How are you going to pay for this loan?
Well, this will be through fees, sewer and water fees.
What is the fees? When was the last time you raised them?
Oh. Last time we raised them, last time we was here, we raised...
10 years ago?
No. No, we raised our sewer fees more than doubled our sewer fees last time we was here in 2017.
About 2016, there was a DEQ loan that required the city to raise their sewer fees to $45 to pay that back. So,
yeah.
Have you approached them the same to get other sources for this particular project? Any other entities you've approached?
We have not this time, no.
Just because of the somebody had mentioned about the depletion of the funds and just having some conversation with DEQ, it didn't seem like our options were as great as if going to CIB.
Well, yeah, everybody loves CIB. That's what we're here for. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You bet. Yes, Ms. Powers.
This shows that it will be both water and sewer.
Yes,
is the water revenue and the sewer revenue combined that comes in? Then these projects might have to be separated because the loan is issued through the issuance of a bond. The revenue source will have to be stated, so it will have to be water and sewer.
Yeah, I'm not sure that. I'm not sure, Candace, if it is combined.
Okay.
Primarily, this is a sewer project.
Okay. Also, just of note to the board, the tool is much more friendly than DEQ as far as what they would be willing to award. So keep that in mind.
So treasurer Slaw.
Okay, so that was going to be my question, Candace, as you mentioned that you've been to DEQ. You think you got better terms here, but did they offer financing to you on this project through DEQ? Was there an opportunity?
We didn't go to DEQ for this project. We've been to them with previous projects. It's just some discussion with some of the staff about it. But we didn't go request funds for this project.
Okay. So when you discussed it with the staff, did they indicate that this was a project that they could potentially fund?
Yeah, but mostly through loans. And the city, as far as I know, with their finances, needs a grant.
Okay. But maybe is there a potential that you could go get some loans there and then come to CIB for the grant portion? Perhaps. Or?
I don't think we entertained that. We didn't ask that. So.
I think he's asking you if you would.
Yeah.
Oh, if we would?
I'm just trying to figure out how to stretch CIB as far as I can. You know I am. And
yeah.
And if we're not taking advantage of all the funding sources in the state that have money, then that's kind of what I'm interested in.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
So I'm going to go back to Candace's comment. Do we need to table this until they figure out the percentages on this, what they're really asking for, Candace? Sewer and water.
Is it two asks?
You can put it. You can decide how you want to fund it, but then it needs to be two separate. They need to go back and
continue.
Decide how the revenue comes in, because that revenue will be pledged to pay the loan. So it's just like every other project you do, with the amendment to the motion that they have to make sure that the revenue source is either combined or there will be two bonds.
Commissioner Lytle.
Help me out. What are the in your budget? What do they call the ones that are usually associated with water and sewer? Because they're supposed to be self through rates.
Revenue.
The water revenue and the sewer revenue.
Not the bond side, but the in your budget. Anyway, there's a name for that. Like ours is a Fund 28. That's a name for that fund. But anyway, is it self-sustaining, or how much is the town putting in to support the water and sewer system outside of whatever the rates are paying?
It's not self-sufficient because we had $2.7 million that we're still on the last time paying off.
But your rates aren't covering your other loans right now?
They are right now. Yeah.
I'm not sure I'm clear in the question. How much support does your town budget have to pay into the water and sewer budget to keep it afloat? Or is it self-sustaining without help from the general fund?
I'm not sure.
Is your revenue covering your expenses, your O&M?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's all coming from revenue?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess I'm having a hard time understanding why that's a problem. I mean, if they collect water and sewer bills, why can't they pay for this project?
Brenda might have a comment.
Because CIB goes through the issuance of bonds, the bonds have to have a pledged revenue source. If they aren't combined, it will be a water bond and a sewer bond.
I see.
That's all.
Yeah. And that's what I'm just not clear on.
Two separate.
If it is.
Gotcha.
Brenda, do you know?
Hold on.
Well, we don't know about the bond issue, but in the report from DEQ, the numbers are broke out between water and sewer. Skyler did the sewer piece, which is this one. Let me go back up. This is the breakout on the sewer piece for 1.718 of the ask. The next report is by Heather for the water piece for the balance of those two pieces together. And that's based on their magi for water, sewer. And Skyler is probably way more better at this than me. If you guys have questions for him, it is already, the two packages are there.
Okay. Yeah, because we have a different MAGI number for our sewer and for water.
Commissioner Adams.
I'm going to be the Grinch today. I'd like to make a motion to fund this at the minimum, $675,000 loan at 30 years at 2% interest and a $225,000 grant.
Is there a second to that motion?
I second that motion.
Seconded by Chairman Zanotti. Comments? Questions?
Well, I just want to make a clarification. That's not, I mean, that's not the minimum. The minimum was for 0%. You're saying...
Changing.
So you're advocating for zero?
He's not. Yes.
That is shocking.
I just want to be clear that yeah. That's above median, right? So,
yeah.
Above minimum. You know, that would be more in line with median. I mean, it's different terms, but that's...
Yeah.
With the keeping the ratio of the loan and the grant, that's what he's trying to do, 25 to 75%.
Okay, I'll revise
my... I see what you say.
I'll revise it then.
Yes.
I make a motion that we fund them at the medium, $905,000 loan, 30 years at 1%, $1,795,000 grant.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yes, I'll second, in fact. That's great.
Questions, comments? Okay, seeing none. Ms. Powers, I'll call for a roll call vote, please.
And we're going to go with Treasurer Slaw as the second. Correct?
Oh,
not Mr.
I don't,
Zanotti.
Oh, that's right. No. Did you want a second?
No, you're fine.
It's a different motion.
Yeah, you're fine.
Okay.
I didn't like
substitute motion by the original motion maker. How about that?
Amended okay. Motion.
He shamed me.
Okay, so there was a first motion. Yeah. With a 2% interest. This is the substitute motion for the median,
yes.
As the tool recommends. Treasurer Slaw?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
No.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Yes.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes. It's on the priority list for funding October 5th.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So could I ask a question? So for Candace and Brenda, in the meantime, well, I guess we'll figure that out, whether it needs to be broken out into two separate. Can
yes.
We still do that at the funding meeting?
You
or?
Bet.
Okay.
It will be pro rata.
Okay.
What you've awarded here, part water, part sewer.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for that
question.
Thank you.
Up next, item 4-4, the Emory County Local Building Authority is requesting a $1.5 million grant for a senior center in Huntington, Utah. Ms. Powers, any comments?
This was... suggested in the request. So this is for a senior center in Huntington, and they've had a good public hearing. They intend to provide $1 million of the American Rescue Act allocated specifically for infrastructure projects. My question would be, is the ARPA in place or have they already spent it? And we currently do not anticipate any bonds associated with this problem because their request is all grant. If the board authorizes funding with some loan, there should be an allocation for bonding, for the expenses of bonding. It was suggested that CIB matches applicant cash. The only time CIB does a match to applicant cash is if it's a plan when there's no revenue source. So with that, those are my only comments on this. Their comments were that CIB did that. They don't.
Thank you, Ms. Powers. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank
please
you.
Please introduce yourselves, provide any summary for the project.
Lynn Sitford, Emory County Commissioner.
Dan Hawley with Jones and DeMille Engineering.
Brian Barton with Jones and DeMille.
Thank you.
Okay, before I start describing just something that I don't know if it made, I don't believe it made the application, but we're looking at putting up $1 million match. We're also paying for trading and paying for the property and water and sewer hookups, which is pushing us to a half million there. So it's actually, we're providing $1.5 million for your $1.5 million. And yes, the ARPA funds are still in the account, haven't been spent. What we have is we have an old senior center in Huntington that is not friendly to the seniors. It has no parking lot, so they park on the streets and walk the sidewalks. It is not compatible with wheelchairs and has never been upgraded. The kitchen in it is not conducive to cooking. It is only a serving area. And we have a center in Farron right now that is small, is barely meeting the needs for the Meals on Wheels. So what we would like to do is we've made arrangements with Huntington City, depending on what happens here today, to trade Huntington City, the old senior center, for property and water connection and sewer connection on Main Street in Huntington to build this new facility that would have a large commercial kitchen and be able to handle the Meals on Wheels for all of the county other than Green River. And it would have a large flat parking lot for the seniors. We would no longer be parking on the streets and wheelchairing up the sidewalks.
Thank you, Commissioner. Turn it over to the board for questions for the applicants or to entertain a motion. Commissioner Adams.
It's my day, I guess. So make sure I understand this right. You're bringing $1 million cash from your budget.
Bringing $1 million cash from my budget, and I'm getting Huntington City a $400,000 building and two pieces of property in trade for the property and water and sewer connections for the new building.
So you're saying your cash and your property approximately match the $1.5 million grant that you're asking for?
Correct.
Make a motion to approve.
Thank you, Commissioner. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay.
Seconded by Commissioner Miles.
I'll find out. This is outside the tool range, so you got to have an exception to go with it then.
Okay, it's outside the tool range. I don't have my thing. Can because be a...
because.
Do you want me to bring you one, too?
Let's see. One. Can't be financial hardship. It can't be...
How about unique project?
That's what
there you go. Unique project. How about that, Kurt?
Does that fit, Candace?
Yeah. The fact that they're collaborating. Yeah, do you concur with that, Commissioner Miles?
It's actually
Commissioner Brown seconded the motion.
Seconded, yeah.
I'm good. Okay. Any additional discussion, questions, comments? Seeing none, Ms. Powers, I'll call for a roll call vote, please.
This is to fund the Emory Local Building Authority Senior Center at Huntington with a $1,500,000 grant as requested with a unique project exemption. Hertz Law.
No interest.
I don't know why I always have to be first, but yes. Well, yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
I'll vote yes, and I'll say that Treasurer Slaw goes first to hang a dark cloud over the entire voting process. So.
Appreciate that clarification.
Very fitting.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
I read from a list. You just happen to be honored at the top.
He's number one. The end of
we save the worst for last.
So he's number one.
Congratulations.
Congrats, gentlemen. Good. It's good
Thank
to see you.
I appreciate
Thank you.
It.
Why don't we take a brief 10-15 minute back.
Did you think this was going to come to lunch?
Yeah.
It did.
Public
comment by 11:30.
Good.
We will call the meeting back to order at 10:46 a.m. Next up is the item 4-5, Green River City, requesting $4,881,000
$2,441,000 in grant, $2,440,000 in loan at a half a point for a sewer collection system improvements. Ms. Powers, any brief comments?
Two things. One, what they're requesting is of benefit to them and to CIB. When you see the numbers or their request showing up in purple, that is what that means. The public hearing was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. And with that, it's a sewer collection system. It's all sewer. It's one revenue source. And with that, we turn.
Okay. Thank you. Gentlemen, welcome. Please introduce yourselves and your project.
Thank you. I'm Tyler Hunt, the city manager for Green River.
Jonathan Johansson, the city engineer with Johansson Subtle Engineering.
And I'm Brian Meadows, the city public works director.
Welcome.
Thank you. First off, thank you for having us at your meeting. And I also got to tell Brenda and Tamara Dockstader, thank you. They helped us through and got us here, and we can't thank them enough. So, critical portions of the city's sewer system are failing us. The collection system has a series of concrete and clay pipes that are severely corroded and deteriorated to the point where there is a significant amount of groundwater infiltration. We filmed the inside of much of our sewer pipes, and you can see strips of dirt where the pipe has rotted away. The infiltrating groundwater is high in salts and is negatively affecting the TDS levels in our treatment system. Our sewer lagoons were intended to handle, to have a capacity of 500,000 gallons per day. Last year, our maximum average was around 300,000 gallons per day, so roughly about three-fifths capacity, and we still had to dump excess sewage into the river.
Did you say that out loud?
Yeah.
It's in our permit. We have a permit. We didn't go outside the permit.
That way the public greens there.
Green paper.
We love California. Yeah.
I thought that was driftwood.
Thank you for your honesty.
This game is saying it's about sound.
And that, that dumping is due to this failures in our system. This project will allow us to address those failing portions, provide better sewer services to our citizens, and keep the city within our discharge permit. According to the Department of Environmental Quality, in 2020, Green River's median adjusted gross income was only $33,500. That's only 72% of the state's average. Green River is just not a wealthy town. And at the same time as this project is happening, we're improving and repairing our water infrastructure. And so our citizens are being hit with a double increase in their utilities. And for these reasons, we ask that you please help our community in paying for these repairs and upgrades. And we thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Any questions for the applicants before we entertain a motion?
San Juan County is downstream.
So's Moab. So's Moab. They're lucky I don't get a vote.
Yeah, but the Green River comes in below Moab.
Actually, I can vote.
You might. Yeah.
If I want to, I probably.
Could you show us on the map how that affects Moab?
Yes.
I had a question real quick.
Yeah.
How old are these the pipes that you're seeing this decay in?
You know.
What year were they put in, maybe, rather than how old?
The clay tile pipe was originally put in, I believe, in 1905. The concrete, I think, is roughly in the 50s.
Okay.
And, yeah, so it's old. We had a big project in 2002 where we replaced a lot of the cement pipe, but this is what's left from that project.
Somebody tried to tell us that their 1970 pipes were old, and I guess I just wanted to reference.
Yeah, 84, I kind of chuckled and told Tyler that we were, that's new.
Nice.
That's all I have.
Yes. So you mentioned your citizens are absorbing rate increases. Is that correct? In both
right.
sewer and water?
Right.
Can you tell me kind of what percentage increases they're taking on?
The water, we introduced a tiered rate structure, so depending on how much you use, changes your percentage. So our hotels are looking at a 100% increase. We've already done this in preparation for this. We have our first yearly payment saved up, make sure the rates are actually going to produce the revenue the math hopes that they'll produce. Myself had about a 30-ish percent increase in my utilities, and I know one trailer park had an increase of 50%, so, you know, 100% down to 30%. If you don't use a lot of water, you know, Grandma, she's looking at $5 a month increase in water, $7.54 a month increase in sewer, so $12.
Okay. Commissioner Bartholomew?
You realize that if you had brought some watermelons...
Yeah, should have brought that.
Not even just saying.
We had to leave at 4:15. Yeah.
They were still closed.
I would like to make a motion to accept this application as presented here.
Thank you, Commissioner. Seconded by Commissioner Taylor. Chairman Zanotti.
Just want to say excellent, detailed minutes of the public hearing. We should make a copy of that and extend it to all the state to see it and follow the, honestly, warm my heart to see exactly how the city can provide that kind of opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other comments? Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew, you understand that there is brown water in those fields with those watermelons.
That's why they taste so good.
So, yeah, Mr. Chair,
yes. Yes, sir, Commissioner Miles.
So this was motion that that requested, but because it's better than the median, then we don't have to have an exemption, right?
Right. Okay. Ms. Powers, I'll call for a roll call.
Oh, I would have an exemption. It's a unique project, the fact that they are out of the...
Don't need one.
It's within the range.
I mean, it's a unique request.
That outside that they're better than the range.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Treasurer Slaw.
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
Yes.
Mayor Baker.
Yes.
Commissioner Miles.
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor.
Yes.
Commissioner Brown.
Yes.
Commissioner Adams.
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti.
Aye.
And that motion passes.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yep. Up next we have item 4.6, Big Water Municipal Corporation requesting a $55,000 grant for an F-150 truck, quick response vehicle for Big Water Fire and Rescue. Ms. Powers, any comments?
This is for an F-150 truck. It's been indicated that it's for quick response. My question would be, how old is the truck they already have? This is an anomaly for CIB. We usually don't fund things that aren't major infrastructure or major purchases, but this probably to Big Water is. They have $10,000 cash. The estimate was May 30th. Is that estimate still good for $51,255?
I'm hoping it is. It's a state grant or state contract dealer that we're going through, so it should be pretty close. As far as the one that we have now, let me start over. So my name is Robert Barnett. I'm the fire chief of Big Water Fire. We pretty much all met a couple years ago we were trying to get a grant for two fire trucks. Mm-hmm. They were refurbished, and from what I understand, it's one of the first times CIB did refurbished. So that's a good thing. That was a good step in the right direction for all fire departments, especially the volunteers. So I appreciate that. Those trucks have been serving us very well, and we've not had any issues with them, so thank you. Right now, we are using a 1999 GMC Suburban. Yesterday when I drove it had 265,000 miles on it, and it is barely staying together. We respond, 69% of our calls are within the county, outside the municipality. And those calls we have 36 miles of paved highway that we respond on Highway 89. And the rest of that is all dirt, county roads, bumpy roads. A lot of our calls are into, like, the Wave area and up the Escalante and in that area. So we do a lot of off-road responding, which in an ambulance doesn't do very well. We also respond for the National Recreation Area down to Lone Rock Beach. That beach, we cannot get an ambulance down. We have to wait for a four-wheel drive vehicle to take us down to the patient and get them out of there. Yeah, well, they can go by boat, but Lone Rock is accessible by ground. So the best way to do it is to get them. Also, we do a lot of backcountry, a lot of, we fly a lot of patients for a helicopter, and for us to respond out there in a big vehicle, a fire truck, and an ambulance, it takes a little while to get out there. So this vehicle will allow us to get into smaller areas that we cannot do with fire trucks or a big ambulance.
Thank you. Have you considered, with the General Motors vehicle getting to a quarter of a million miles, this Ford's not likely to get to at least 100,000 miles, have you considered
that? I wasn't going to go there. I'm trying to stay biased on that. Just I'm a Dodge man myself, but...
Yeah.
Woo! We're a small municipality fire department, and we can't afford a Chevy or a Dodge, so we had to go with Ford.
Go electric. Just state the facts. Just state the facts.
Go yeah. Electric.
Okay.
Yeah.
No.
Thank you.
I think you took us down this road yourself.
Well, you guys do it all the time. I did it once.
But the research, to answer your question, the reason I went for it is, so I've done a lot of research with fire departments, and a lot of the fire departments are going with the Ford F-150. It seems to be a good all-around truck, and it's serving their purposes. And they run a lot more calls and do a lot more than we do. So.
Okay.
So you go with a four-door?
Yes, sir.
F-150?
Yes, sir.
Treasurer Slaw.
I just had a... So is this going to be equipped for patient transport then? Because it sounds
no.
like you...
So, so what it will be is it will be equipped for if we can... A lot of times it's just a broken ankle or a broken bone, and we can't get them out any other way. We can't get the ambulance to them. So we can put them in the truck and drive them out to where the ambulance is at and get them out that way.
Rather than use UHVs or anything else that
correct
is more yeah, able to get into something.
I'm not a fan, sorry, but I know Utah is, but I'm not a fan of side-by-sides. They tend to cause a lot of problems in the environment. They are good for patient care. We've looked at them. Also, to get in the smaller remote areas. So, yeah.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yeah, you mentioned Escalante. There's a road in Escalante called the Holman Rock Road.
Yes, sir.
That I tell people that when they go down there in a Ford F-150, they come back in an F-75 because half of it's still down there.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And it's the truth. I've got a mayor sitting behind you there that she'll verify that. Actually, Escalante did go get a grant from the state of Utah Outdoor Rec for a side-by-side, and they equipped it with all the medical stuff. That actually really helps out our fire department in Escalante has that. So
yeah, we are actively looking at that right now too.
Okay, there's I think like $15 million sitting in that fund to be able to help with that. So,
do we, Commissioner Miles?
I just had a couple of questions. Different than a typical quick response in the state of Utah. What else will be outfitted with? On this F-150.
On the F-150. So it's going to be, so we do wildland fire also, so they'll be able to respond with that and with all their gear on that. It'll have firefighter equipment, tools, turnouts on it.
With a topper or a tonneau cover? Or what
yes.
Do you do?
Yeah, we're going to put a top on it with a slide tray.
So it'll be kind of a command vehicle then as well?
Yeah, yes and no. It's more so... Kanab right now, so we partner with Kanab City Fire. We have a mutual response with them. When we request help, typically with the fire trucks that we have and they have, we have enough pumping apparatus and stuff for fires and enough gear. We just need the manpower. So for them to send their manpower, they could put four people in a vehicle, which is just what they have, is an F-150, and they send it over, and it gets over to us pretty quick. If we had to use a fire truck or something else, like we do now, it takes probably another half hour to get there.
You mentioned you had a couple of contracts, or maybe a contract, one with Kanab, or Kane County, and one with the recreation area, is that correct?
It's an MOU is what it is.
Mutual.
It's not a contract. It's a mutual aid agreement. So Kane, we respond, they respond.
So Kane doesn't provide you X amount of dollars to provide protection?
No, sir.
For unincorporated?
Well, they should. What about the National Recreation Area? Do you have a contract?
An MOU.
Have you approached Kane County about using TRT dollars to fund purchase of this truck?
No, because it's not considered EMS, you can't use TRT for fire.
One last question. Mentioned in the minutes that you have $300,000 that you bring in. Where does that money come from?
So Big Water Fire has a contract with Amangiri Resorts for fire protection, so we get money from that. Last year, I approached Kane County Hospital to do EMS. For 20 years, Big Water Fire has done EMS in that part of the county for free. And so I approached them last year and requested to, a second ambulance to do hospital transports out of Page, Arizona. Mm-hmm. And so we get paid for that. So we have a contract. They pay us now for 911 response, and then they pay us another fee for interfacility transports.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman, may I ask one more question? How many calls a year does Big Water respond to?
Right now, we're just over 200 calls a year. Wow. We actually tripled our call volume in the last year.
Yeah, they covered a lot.
Thank you.
Are you good?
I'm good.
Just real quick. Commissioner Lytle, go ahead. And then, okay.
I'd be willing to give you another $10,000 or $15,000 bucks if you get a 3/4 ton or a 1 ton.
A Chevy.
No. But in terms of, if it's not just a runaround truck or the, you know, administrative truck, I can see a half ton. Full disclosure, I ride in a 3/4 ton every day, and with about 50 miles of paved road in our county. It might feel nice to ride in a half ton, but clearance and everything, I'm sorry, I'm in the weeds, but clearance and everything else. I'll be glad to give you what you're asking for, but is it really the truck you need?
Unless it's
going to be a highway truck or gravel road truck. But you've got talking about places to go get stuck in, and that just doesn't seem like the truck you want. And it's not my place to judge that, but I also don't want to put good money after bad unless it's really just a runaround. And I don't mean just, but an administrative truck for graded roads and paved roads.
Right. No, and I agree with that. And you're right. And the reason why, like I said, in the research that I did was on bigger fire departments that had, most of them used the F-150s. A 3/4 ton would be better. My Dodge is a 3/4 ton.
Okay, I'll pay $5,000 less if you'll get a Dodge.
I can't believe you said
that. I'm glad I don't have to respond to you in a basin.
Yeah, I'm kidding. I like Dodges.
A 3/4 ton would be better. A 3/4 ton, because then if we are allowed to get a side by side with a trailer, because it would have to be in a trailer or on a trailer, we would need a heavier duty truck. I was looking at more the expense of it and the availability of it, and talking to the dealer, the 3/4 tons for them are hard to get. And the dealer's suggestion was the 150.
Well, yeah, because he'll sell you another one in 3 years if you beat the hell out of him. But, I'm sorry, I'm talking out of school. But
no, you're fine.
Just in terms of frank conversation.
Sure.
It's just amazing.
I agree with you.
I mean, I'd be glad to support it.
Do we have a motion, Commissioner Lytle?
Yeah, if they'll get a 3/4 ton, I'll give them another $10,000.
Second to that motion?
I have a question, a comment.
We got to have a second before we can.
I'll second that.
Yeah. Okay.
I agree with that.
Chairman Zanotti.
I just question from the staff. In the historical part of our business, we have shied away from anything under 100,000 to have loan. But in this case, we have all the indications is all loan now. So why is that?
Is there a paperwork problem? Because I thought it was all grant.
Well, they're asking for grant.
They're all asking for grant. We can do a generic bond for anything under 100,000. We do have a mechanism.
You do? Okay.
I forgot about
that. Yeah, we asked for a $55,000 grant with 10,000 cash. And then the minimum there is up to 100,000 in loan.
Could I speak to the motion before we go very fast? I was speaking in practical terms. I'll make the motion to support what you're asking for, but I don't know if it's really not the truck you need, or if it's going to be an administrative vehicle, adjust your application to support what it really will be used for, if it isn't going to really function off-road very well. I don't know.
Curtis?
I'm open.
Yes.
Jack, would you consider in your motion doing a suspend and fund on this? They got their bid in May. If we don't give them the money now, they're going to be clear into October. Just so the price doesn't go up. I don't know.
On state contract, I don't know how that works for you. Is anybody
that's what I looked at, too. If it goes up, I'm not sure if it will. It might, like everything else. I know the lighting package that we're putting on it is probably going to go up, so that's going to cost us more.
But it's a first response thing, really, to get there ahead of the truck that may struggle
or
whatever else.
Yes.
All right. Suspend and fund, that's friendly for what they asked for. But
so we're going back to the original request.
Okay. Yes.
And you concur with that, Mayor Baker?
Sure. I mean, I go either way. If they want to look at going the extra 10,000, going 3/4 ton,
or whatever it costs for 3/4.
We can put that in motion, or they can go drop down to the F-150 if they want. I don't have a problem with that either.
Honestly, the 3/4 ton would probably benefit and last a lot longer in our area.
It's going to cost more than 10,000.
It may cost more.
Yeah, it's going to cost a lot more than
10,000.
Okay, so what do we want to do?
Still
guys?
Under 100, I bet.
Can we just approve it the way it is, request it, and then if they come back in the funding, they can find out the estimate for 3 ton,
and if they can get it.
Two things.
Suspend and fund, though.
Suspend and fund it, it's done.
Do you need to suspend and fund it?
What do you want?
Whatever.
No, they didn't need it, but Commissioner Adams
offered.
It's going
to come back on state bid anyhow. That's the price.
Under 100,000.
So you're not going to negotiate either.
You got to have a special event.
So are we placing it on the priority list?
Yes. Let's do.
As requested.
But then I got to cut. What's the special circumstance or anything under?
Yeah.
But it's suspend and fund too, Candace.
No, priority list and suspend and fund are separate.
Okay.
One or the other. If we do the suspend and fund, we get out of all my conversation of changing trucks, I think. Right?
Yeah. You do.
If pending list lets them, if we get them on the list, come back with more info. October is funding?
October 5th.
Commissioner Miles?
I think I'm going to add on to where Mr. Zanotti left off, and that is other entities fund vehicles through a loan, or they pay cash. And we funded a car, I believe, for $60,000 in 22. And the two fire trucks that you mentioned in 2022, you're bringing in $300,000 a year. Simple. And my request would be, if we fund this, don't come back. Find a way in that $300,000 a year that you can pay for your next truck. That's my comments.
So can I make a comment to that real quick? So I was asked to come to Big Water Fire Department 3 years ago, and I was, and by the fire chief at that time, which was a friend of mine, and I said I would, but it was only to make things better. If I wasn't allowed to make things better for the fire department and the citizens, I wouldn't do it. Okay? When I started there, they had a budget of $35,000. None of their fire trucks, none of their hoses, none of their firefighting capabilities even the ambulances that we were getting from Kane County Hospital met NFPA regulations or state highway transportation regulations. Okay? Since I've taken over that, we had an ISO rating of 6. We changed a lot, repaired a lot of equipment, upgraded our turnouts. We have an ISO rating of 4. We went from a 6 to a 4, which is unheard of by ISO. We have worked very hard and diligent to that. So that $300,000 a year helped pay for staffing for 24 hours a day, 2 people, 7 days a week. They're on call at night, but during the day they get paid. So we used some of that money for that. The rest of the money went to upgrade all our tools and equipment. The $300,000 a year that we're bringing in now is going to go, a lot of it's going to go to wages and employing people full-time 24/7 for a better response for our county and for our municipality. Like I said, 69% of our call volume is in the county. So yeah, it's every dime that we bring in goes out. Last year, like I said, went out to equipment to upgrade it. And again, you say you don't like throwing good money after bad, and neither do I. That's why I push to get refurbished trucks. They're going to last just as long. So I got 2 good pumper trucks for a half the price of what it would have cost me to get a brand new one. That's throwing good money after good, and it's not wasting taxpayers' dollars. And that's the way I look at it. And so, yeah, everything that I can try to get, we got a $38,000 grant from Firehouse Subs for new extrication tools. Wonderful. We got 2 grants so far from the state DNR for wildland program. So our money is tight, and it's very tight. And so I don't like loans.
Nobody does.
Then they say it's a 20-year loan or a 30-year loan. I don't want to see it that long.
I
paid off my house early because I don't like the mortgage payment.
On vehicles, they won't. It'll be a short loan.
Yeah. I applaud your efforts. Yeah. I wish we had that luxury to have one paid full-time firefighter in my county.
Yeah.
So I applaud your efforts, but I think there's ways to come up with the money to buy new vehicles. Thank you.
So, Commissioner Lyder, what is the motion? State the motion, please, again for us.
With that discussion, if we can do a simple loan or bond, and it won't cost a hell of a lot more, I go half and half at 1%.
You're going to...
Mitch,
no.
What are you doing?
I'm thinking out loud.
Half and half, what are you
loan and grant, is
yeah.
What you're saying?
No. I shouldn't be thinking out loud and talking at the same time.
Give him what he requested.
But, okay, you come up with the justification, and I'll go with what the request was and stay with my original motion.
Administrative.
It's a unique vehicle.
Any one of them got fit.
I'm serious. Whoever seconded it, come up with a motion.
Mayor Baker, I
go back to financial hardship.
Yeah.
Helps the community, health, safety, and welfare. That's okay. What.
Okay.
That is.
So what's your motion, Mayor Baker?
I'm making the motion now.
No, I made the motion.
No, it's his. It's 55 as requested.
As requested. Okay.
As requested. I'll just second whatever.
With that exemption, and I apologize for my scattering.
Okay, so is the board clear? Is the mud in Cane Creek?
And it's not suspended fund.
Okay.
So,
okay. Roll call vote. Roll call vote, please, Ms. Powers.
55.
And if you wouldn't mind restating the motion.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's hear
Big Water Town has requested a $55,000 grant for a F-150 truck for Big Water Fire and Rescue. That's the request. The motion is as requested with a financial hardship exemption.
Clear as the Green River as it flows through San Juan County.
That's yep. Right.
That's right.
Treasurer Slaw.
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
Yes.
Mayor Baker.
Yes.
Commissioner Miles.
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes.
Thank you, sir.
You're on the priority list. It will be funded October 5th.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next item is 4.7 for the Escalante Municipal Building Authority. That's how Commissioner Taylor pronounces it.
Escalante.
For the Escalante City Medical Center Addition. Welcome, Ms. Powers. Brief comments?
Yeah, this is for Escalante City Medical Center Addition. You've seen the description. In the public hearing, it's number one. This project is number one on the CIB application list as priority. They referred to the fact that the city is pursuing ECHLs and CDBG grants to furnish the wellness room. I do not believe, I mean, if that's so, then they will submit next year because CDBG has not received an application for that. My question would be, have they applied to ECHLs for any of this funding? The new building is 3,685 square feet. This is with utilities and furnishings. Because the furnishings are in the estimate, but you were going to furnish. Is this funding for furnishings as well? That's
thank you.
Question.
Please introduce yourselves and provide a brief summary of your project.
Hey, Melanie Torgerson, Mayor of Escalante City.
Stephanie Steed, City Recorder.
And Kendrick Thomas, Jones and DeMille Engineering.
Welcome.
So I'll just give you a really brief description. I know you've all read your packets and probably understand this, probably as well as I do. The medical clinic in 2014 was constructed. At the time, it was supposed to include the dental office, but because of lack of funding, the project was made smaller. At the time, or currently, the dental office is at the old Kazan Clinic. We would like to move the dental office out to the medical clinic, along with our physical therapist, is currently at the medical clinic. He sees his patients in the x-ray room, so if we have someone that comes in needing an x-ray, he's having to go out in the hall or find somewhere else to go. And we would also like to move our city office to the current location of the dental office. Our city office is in not great condition. It was built in the 50s. It's not ADA compliant. So we're trying to look at ways that we can utilize the space that we have for the least amount of money. Physical therapy, wellness center, dental office, and a city office, new city hall, with the least amount of funds, honestly.
Thank you. Questions for the applicants from the board? Chairman Zanotti.
I'll take offense in your remarks. I was built in 1950. Look at me.
You're great.
That's fair. Commissioner Tate. Oh.
I don't know. I have.
Okay.
So, Candace asked about the applying for ECHOS Foundation. Have you received anything from them? Any reports of any commitments?
No, that's not been formally applied for yet.
Has not applied for. What about the ARPA funds? Does this qualify for ARPA funds? Have you tried that one?
We've used our ARPA funds. We've used the first ARPA funds for water because we're redoing our springs.
Okay.
And we're planning on using the second part of our ARPA funds for the springs also.
For water funds.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Taylor.
Yes, I have to disclose that in 2014 I happened to be the mayor of Escalante, and I was before this board. And I have to admit, it scared the hell out of me. And now that I'm on the board, it scares the hell out of me.
Very intimidating.
No, this is actually a great board, and I appreciate the new mayor and her wanting to do this for Escalante. I need to tell you, Bruce, from Escalante, we can see San Juan County.
It's dry.
It's dry. There's not even clouds any coming over us, so can't make it to you.
Okay.
But this is a great project. Let me tell you about Escalante. small community, 800 people. Before we had this clinic, we had a part-time clinic for a day and a half. Since we've been able to build this clinic, we have it. It's 5 days. We have a dental office also that would expand into this. Before that, we would travel to see a doctor an hour and a half, to get a prescription an hour and a half, and then you have to travel home. So that's a three-hour trip, easy. So this is a big deal for our community. Now, let me tell you about Garfield County. Garfield County is loaded with, it has coal. It has oil and gas. It has uranium. It has all those things, but we're not able to touch it to help. We do some. We do have one small oil field that we do produce. But all this other resources that we have, we're not able to touch because we have federal land monument. I have a little demonstration here this morning. This is Garfield County. Upside down, but it's we do a lot of things upside down. 3.3 million acres is in Garfield County, and this stick is 33 inches long. It represents the land in Garfield County. You can see we have BLM, Forest National Park Service, state, and then the private that we can tax. That would actually, if we had more, we could tax. We could probably build a building such as we're asking for. When you see this little end of the stick right here, you know what that means, right?
I do.
Garfield County got the.
How much of it's a green belt?
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's a big deal. Now, having said all that, I am totally in favor of this project, but I will. Decline voting on it. Now I'll leave that up to you. So
thank you, Commissioner.
That's my pitch.
Commissioner Adams.
I'm the only one that wants to speak, I guess. I'm on a roll. Okay, Kurt, get ready. I know how valuable having a medical center or emergency services near enough to your community that you can rely on it. It looks to me like this addition would be essential to the protection, the health, safety, and welfare of these citizens. And I'm just wondering, you requested $940 in a grant and $620 in a loan. The tool is indicating that you should have more loan, even though Kurt doesn't like how I figure my fifth grade math. Could you afford to take the $620,000 loan 30 years at a little higher percent interest rate, say 2%?
We were trying to keep our loans at $24,000 a year. Wayne Community Clinic will pay part of the loan. Escalante City will pay part of the loan. We are trying to come up with a way and budget for drainage, developing water springs, and some other bigger projects. The city really tries to not overextend ourselves. And with the help of Garfield County, we go to the county a lot for funds. They're going to help with this project. With excavation and anything else that we need help with. So,
yeah. Is there any steel in the project?
Currently, it's the thought is that it'd be wood frame.
Shame on you.
We can add a little bit.
Okay.
Well, Kurt, easy on me here. I'm going to make a motion. I'm going to move that we give them a $940,000 grant, $620,000 loan, 30%, 30 years at 350%, no, 30 years at 1%, and the exemption will be emergency response, health, safety, and welfare.
I second that motion, Mr.
Seconded by Chairman Zanotti. Comments, questions? Comment, Commissioner Taylor. I guess this is a question. The public lands ownership and resource management
discussion that you brought up with this measuring stick to show the, you know, the disparity between, you know, private land and federal land. Have, you know, any of the nonprofit groups, are my friends at the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance, Grand Canyon Trust, the list goes on, have they ever made Garfield County a proposal on how to pay for essential services?
No.
Through monument declarations, designations, growing ownership of federal land where natural resource development cannot occur?
No.
Just wanted to, for the record, better understand that. Thank you. Ms. Powers will call for a roll call vote, please.
This is for the Escalante Municipal Building Authority's request for an Escalante City Medical Center addition. The request is $940,000 grant, $620,000 loan, 30-year at 1%. The emergency response is the exemption. Treasurer Slaw.
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
Yes.
Mayor Baker.
Yes.
Commissioner Miles.
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor.
I'll recuse myself.
You can.
Commissioner Brown.
I'll vote yes twice.
Commissioner Adams.
Yes.
Mr. Zanon.
Aye.
Motion passes. This is on the priority list for funding October 5th.
Thank you. Thank we you. Appreciate all that you do for our community.
You bet.
Congratulations.
It's a big deal.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Yeah. Okay. Up next, we have item 4.8, Enix City, Police Department Expansion. The request is a grant for $742,043 for a police department expansion in 2023. Welcome, gentlemen. Ms. Powers, any brief comments regarding this request?
It is of note that the 10 officers, and this was discussed in the public hearing, share a space of 900 square feet. I'm not sure if that's, this is at smaller than this space. this is for a police department expansion, as was said. What is the status of the 80,000 or 82,000 cash? Do you have that in hand?
Yes.
The bid was from May 30th, 2023. The bid was for 780,600, which is lower than the amount of cash you have. Is that bid still good? This is substantially lower than what the tool recommends. I'm sure the board has noted that. With that, that's what it is in Enix City.
Thank you, gentlemen. Again, welcome. Please introduce yourselves and your project.
Thank you very much. My name is Rob Dotson. I'm the city manager of Enix City.
I'm Jackson Ames, the chief of police in Enix City.
We do thank you for the opportunity to be here with you here today and enjoy this beautiful weather that you're having. Enix City, as was stated, has facilities that actually encompass about 1,100 square feet for our police department. It's shared space, some of it, which is our meeting rooms where we have our city council meeting they use for training. Over the past 10, 15 years, we've invested heavily in our labor force for law enforcement and also in training and equipping law enforcement. Those funds have all come from sales tax, which pay for all of that. Well, I should say all of our sales tax pay for law enforcement. And over the past 5 years, we've been discussing the need to expand for their ability to not just do their work, day-to-day work, but also for evidence. Our evidence area is basically a cargo storage container and another small room, and that doesn't fit with standards that we should be using. So the $82,000, we still do have that as an impact fee that has been put in place since 1999 and has not been increased until this last month or 2 months ago. And so this application includes that money that we have
and available. We did receive three other bids for this project based upon a general floor plan of what we wanted. One came in at $1.8 million. One came in at $3.2 million. Of course, that was from an architect. There you go. And Enix City, we pride ourselves on being extremely frugal. We build our animal shelter. We contracted that ourselves for less than $200,000. It was about $200,000. And this bid that we do have that we provided with you is from a local contractor. We will be doing most of the work. We'll be contracting out the plumbing, mechanical, will be the electrical as required by code. We have manpower available, including local contractors who are willing to donate time and energy to build this facility for our law enforcement. That's all I have.
Thank you. Questions for the applicants from the board, or do we have a motion? Commissioner Bartholomew.
I'm just wondering if you would consider a loan on this.
If you look in our minutes of our meetings, we had talked about having a loan. That was on May 3rd, after our budget process, which ended, and basically received our new budget for July 1st. We realized that a loan is going to hamper our sales tax revenue. We'd have to do some major readjustments and reduce some of our services, which we're struggling to keep up with in the first place. So, yes, we had considered a loan in the first place after when we got the grant the application together, put it on as a grant with this lower amount than we previously had thought about doing.
Commissioner Lytle.
Just a couple questions. Did you look into CDBD? Or
CDBG.
Yeah, unfortunately, our city isn't poor enough anymore.
I understand that. Property taxes, what is that what funds the rest of the city government, or how do you?
We have a water system, sewer, drainage, and trash, and those actually are fee-based, and so those fund a lot of the other services, including sharing funding for administration of the rest of the city.
You don't have a property tax.
We do have a property tax, and that property tax, about 90% goes to law enforcement also, okay. and fire.
In your minutes, local community opposition to taxes and the services being discussed, is that part of the minutes? Was that in opposition to raising any taxes or services to support the building?
We actually, that was a city council member who mentioned that there's always opposition to property tax increase. We recently had the first property tax increase in 2019. It was for two new officers, which were highly needed. At one point, we had two officers for about 7,000 people working 24-hour shifts. So it's been tough, but that's what our most recent property tax increase went to. And there was no opposition to that property tax increase, which was shocking because the last time we proposed a tax increase, pitchforks and axes and the typical, you know, threats.
It probably wasn't for the two officers that time.
Two officers, there was no,
right,
no opposition.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Follow-up question for the staff then. On the suggested range here, every one of these is a loan at different interest rates for a 30-year period. How come is that with no loan grants or anything like that? Is that what the tool is suggesting there?
Yes.
Could you help us understand on that why it go straight to loan versus grant?
They're not producing
number
county.
Two county. They're not a producing
they're not
county.
They're not producing county.
Yeah.
So that's the whole reason right there is they're not a producing county.
That's a big factor in how the tool. That's why when UN and Duchesne come, I have to remind them that the tool takes that into consideration. They get far more favorable deals even at the median. out of the tool.
Okay, so that being said, then I would like to make a motion that we go with a minimum 743,000 dollar loan, 30-year, 0% interest.
Motion made by Commissioner Bartholomew.
Would you consider a friendly amendment to go to at least a half or 1%?
Yeah.
To, because the minimum is 2.5% on the
sure.
thing, right?
Sure, yeah.
Would you like a half or a point?
What are you after, Jack?
Well, I think a little return is important.
Yep.
So I'm open to...
A 1%?
1%.
You guys...
1%.
I'll amend that to a 1%.
Okay. Second it.
With that, I'll second it.
Okay.
Still outside the range of the tool. You got to have an exemption.
Thank
Sorry,
you.
I feel like I'm the exemption Nazi over here.
No. You're fine. You're just fine. It has to be. Right. Don't.
It's true.
You're just fine.
If the shoe fits.
We love you just the way you are,
I'll defer to Bruce for the exemption.
Because. Oh my gosh.
Is 2.5% too much for a non-producing county? Are we saying that? If we were to go to the minimum? Isn't it too?
2.5% is the minimum. That's what they put on there, is the minimum is 2.5%.
I think we need to stick.
Okay.
We're there in non-producing county. I'll just like to make a comment that, I mean, we made Tooele City take 4% on a fire station last month.
Yeah.
And I understand and I appreciate your conservative estimates and trying to get your costs down as much as possible, but I think 2.5% is still a swinging deal on the market. And luckily you've got 8,000 people to help share that burden.
Then we don't have to do it.
So that being said, Greg, are you making an amendment to my motion or should I amend my...
Well, I would be willing to make a substitute motion.
Okay.
I'll second the substitute.
I would substitute as a minimum.
Okay.
That's what's
suggested. So motion on the floor is to fund it or to approve at the minimum?
No exemption, Grouchy.
No exemption required.
All the names.
Let's keep the gloves on.
I'm just trying to keep you out of jail, Bruce.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking of you.
Thank you.
I just have a comment.
Yes.
So my scripture says that the city of Enoch was so righteous and the people all got translated. Apparently they are not, because you're still here.
What's maybe it's gone now.
Is that Old Testament?
We left and it's gone.
Whichever testament is, but apparently you haven't done your job. You're still here.
It's because of the 2.5%.
Okay. Ms. Powers, I'm going to call for a roll call vote, please.
This is for the minimum 743,000 loan, 30-year at 2.5%. It's the Enoch City Police Department expansion. Substitute motion. Treasurer Slaw.
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
Yes.
Mayor Baker.
Yes.
Commissioner Miles.
I'd like to say I and we understand, you know, you had a very rough situation in your city, and mm-hmm. our hearts still hurt for what you had to go through, and appreciate what the police department does in your community. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti.
Aye, and again, thank you for whatever job you do there. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We do appreciate, even though we didn't give what we asked for, you guys are helping us tremendously.
Well, you got more than you asked for. Design finance, as at this point, is 5.5%. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
We are your friends.
Yes, you are.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next item is item 4.9, the Bear River Water Conservancy District requesting a $250,000 grant for the Box Elder County Water Master Plan. Welcome, Ms. Powers. Any brief comments for the board?
This is a master plan, a water master plan. They have the 50% cash match. They said this is going to happen over a period of 2 years, so it will be a 2-year contract. That's all I'd like to tell the applicant. And reimbursements for plans will only be authorized at 50% of invoice.
Thank you. Welcome, sir. Please introduce yourself and your project.
Thank you. My name is Carl Mackley. I am the general manager of the Bear River Water Conservancy District, representing Box Elder County, sort of the de facto water planning and providing institution there. We were founded in 1988, so we came along after most cities and towns were already established, and we've served as kind of the donut holes. We have 6 separate water systems. We supply 92% of our water is wholesale water to other public water suppliers, and 8% retail customers in, like I said, as donut holes to fill in the gaps. We are a little bit project heavy right now. We, in 2021, did a drought resiliency plan. The drought was impacting several springs, in particular that public water suppliers, including the district and others, have. We're grateful for this past year. It's really helped out, but we know that those type of things are going to come back around. And sort of several things have kind of happened to culminate in Box Elder County coming to a decision to try and do a county water master plan. It's something that the Box Elder County has never done before. There are recent legislative bills, including Senate Bill 110 from 2022 and Senate Bill 76 from 2023, that require water to be specifically addressed in as part of a county's general plan. We do not provide water to every resident in Box Elder County, but we provide water to approximately 1/3 of the population right now, and that's growing all the time. We do tax. We went through a truth in taxation process last year, and now I know why people hate going through that process. We've updated what we think our cost is going to be to about $530,000 for this project. The district intends to fund $250,000. We're requesting $250,000 from this board. We also participated in a Growing Water Smart event, a workshop, where we get a $10,000 scholarship to assist in that plan. And then we've also made prior funding requests, including to the Division of Water Resources, and we believe that we can fund the remaining $20,000 through them. Any questions?
Chairman Zanotti.
Mr. Chairman, with your permission and authorization, this is a planning grant. Matching fund is there already in the account, $250,000. I make a motion to approve as requested.
Thank you, sir. Seconded by Commissioner Bartholomew. Any questions, comments, discussion? Seeing none, Ms. Powers, please call for roll call vote.
Quick discussion.
Yes.
Excuse me. So in your minutes, you speak to trying to find other funding sources to reduce the costs to the district for this process.
Mm-hmm.
If you find ways to reduce your costs, I would hope it would be proportional to relieve us to take away some of the money that we're giving you.
Sounds fair to me.
In an effort to protect the money we're putting out.
Sure.
If in the total project cost, if you find a way to find some other helpful funding sources, that it be proportionately applied to relieve the state money or the CIB money also.
Okay.
If that's a fair comment to the motions. Thank you.
Treasurer Slaw.
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
No.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda is item 410, Wayne County requesting a $244,400 grant for Silla easements class D and B roads in Wayne County. Welcome. Ms. Powers, any brief comments?
This is the normal award that CIB has provided to different counties. We have recently funded Sitla easements in Grand, Uinta, Emory, Sevier, Carbon, Duchesne, Kane, San Juan, and San Pete. When we first started doing this, the board asked them, you know, they're kind of working through just a few counties at a time. Thank you, Nancy Strickland. And this is Wayne County's request. What it does is it's easements along roadways that are on Sitla property to keep them open so that those easements are permanent easements. And with that, turn the time over.
Please introduce yourselves and your request.
Commissioner Dennis Blackburn, I'm excited to be here with you today. I'm so glad COVID's over and we can actually see each other. And I'm glad you're willing to listen to our request. With your permission, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to talk for just a second about Wayne County. I'd borrow Jerry's stick, but there's a little something on the end of it there I don't want to get on, man. So we are 3% private in Wayne County, and out of that 3%, like Commissioner Adams said, we're 70% of that is on Greenbelt. And we have three national parks that run full length of our borders. We have a whole bunch of wilderness study areas. We have our neighbors on the north of us in Emory County that designated 600,000 acres of wilderness full length of our borders. Really important that we can keep access open, and we appreciate your help.
Thank you.
And I'm Nancy Strickland, representing Sitla.
Thank you for being here, Ms. Strickland. Commissioner Lytle.
I'd make a motion to approve as requested.
Second.
Motion made by Commissioner Lytle, seconded by Commissioner Brown.
Substitute motion, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
With that kind of explanation Commissioner gave us, we should give him twice the amount he's requesting.
Yeah, I really like this motion and this idea, because that Sitla land, those easements run into San Juan County across the border, so I'm fully in favor of it.
Second my motion, then.
Okay. Ms. Powers, please.
This is to award $244,400 grant funds to Wayne County to do the Sitla easements. This is on both B and D roads.
Correct.
Treasurer Slaw.
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
Yes.
Mayor Baker.
Yes.
Commissioner Miles.
Yes.
Commissioner Taylor.
Yes.
Commissioner Brown.
Yes.
Commissioner Adams.
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti.
Aye.
That motion carries. There is a process for doing this. You have to record them. Nancy's been through this before, so just follow that process. And if you need the steps, then just let me know, because they have to be recorded in a finished product, and then we will reimburse you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Comment?
Now, yes.
If I could. You know, Dennis has been sitting back there sweating this whole time, and we didn't even give him any crap.
I've got an idea.
That's because he paid the dues already.
Commissioner Blackburn, you're an expert in southern Utah roads. Can you please confirm with the board how long a trash can be pulled down the highway at 70 miles per hour before the wheels fly off?
And that will open the door for you to make your motion to the board.
Thank you. it can go 70 miles an hour for 3.72 miles before the wheels come off. And the can is still hooked to my truck. Mr. Chairman, do you accept motions from applicants?
I can neither confirm nor deny that.
I'd like to make a motion that no ties can be worn by board members at this meeting.
I second it.
I'm gonna exercise chairman's, what's it called, authority? We're just, yeah, it's happening. Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You didn't ask him about his phone, where he found his phone.
Yeah.
He'll be back.
That's another story.
All right, thank you. Item 7-1, Southeastern Utah Association of Local Governments requesting a $395,000 grant for a new administration building food bank. Well, I should clarify. This is under Item 7, Supplemental Requests. Southeastern Utah Association of Local Governments, new administration building, food bank, weatherization, and transit hub. It was funded April 8th of 2021 to the tune of a $6,936,000 grant. First supplemental request, an additional $300,260 in grant, was October 6th of 2022 last year. Second supplemental grant for $1,463,000. I think I read that backwards. Excuse me. The first supplement was October last year. The second supplement was October last year. The first supplement was when?
Just right as soon as they applied.
April 8th.
And then they needed more.
Okay. Could have been a little bit more clear on the agenda, but that's okay. So this is the third supplemental request for the $395,000 grant, totaling $9,094,260. Welcome, Ms. Powers. Any brief comments aside from what's already been mentioned?
Just a caution, you've included audio and visual equipment. CIB does not usually...
It's in the building. It's in the guts of the building.
It can't walk away?
It can't walk away.
Okay. Welcome. Please introduce yourselves and your project.
I am Jerry Gamber. I am the Executive Director of Southeastern Utah Association of Local Governments, and we're building two buildings. One's an admin building, and one's our food bank, weatherization, and transit hub.
And I'm Jade Powell. I'm the Deputy Director at the agency.
Welcome. It's good to see you.
You as well. This is very nerve-wracking, and I apologize. We have to come back again. That $300,000, if everyone that was here originally, that was because of CDBG dollars that did not allow us to go with who we had awarded. We had awarded Jones and DeMille, our engineers, with that money, but it was going to block the whole project, so we let the $300,000 on CDBG go in order and ask CIB if they could give us that. So that's why we came back so quickly, because of that 200 CFR rule. And then the second one was the budget items and what had made it just a little bit more. But this time we're coming back because we made an error when we put this out for bid. We are tax exempt, we being the AOG and the EDD. However, as the law reads, the only way you can buy anything and have the tax exemption is if I was personally to go build it. So Tushar is our construction company, and they cannot utilize the sales tax exemption. We had one vendor through all of this process. We're almost done. We're supposed to have that building done by around the middle of September. We're on landscaping and asphalt now. So anyway, we had one vendor challenge it. We spent quite a few months fighting it. We even had an attorney get involved, a tax attorney, and ended up they were 100% spot on. So that's why we had to come back here, because we're short some money and it's created this issue. So that's why we're here.
And I think, you know, just to be clear, I think, you know, any confusion or errors made should appropriately be assigned to your representative on the board, Commissioner Bruce Adams.
I like that.
You agree with that, Treasurer Sloth? Yes. Okay. Questions for the applicants. Commissioner Lyle.
Just to be clear, are you saying the vendor failed to include sales tax in their purchase of supplies to build the building?
The vendor didn't. So when we put this out for bid for a construction company to bid on it, we put it out as a tax-exempt project. So
they didn't include it.
They didn't include it when they did their bid. So
because
that's
of the way
it was
presented.
And this amount is purely to make up the difference in the tax?
It caused a little bit more of a hiccup. There's the AV equipment in the building, too, and then our engineers charge $60,000 as well. So that's some of the
And just to be, just some more clarification on that, we've used most of our contingency to pay a lot of that sales tax, so this is just what we're short on the sales tax. That doesn't, that's, this request isn't the full sales tax because we're just short that much.
Was there any loan involved in this project yet?
No. The way an AOG is set up, we're not able to pay loans because we're all grant funded.
Well, we've had other AOGs that have loans.
We don't have the capacity to do that. I don't know how they did that when we originally.
The counties, the members of the AOG stepped up.
Our counties aren't in that position.
And some of our counties did, in the sense when we started to build, they donated us the
land,
acreage that we're on.
Mm-hmm.
So that was their contribution.
So they participated.
Question. Along those lines, question, I guess. So an AOG is that state-created, right?
It's
state-created entity.
Interlocal agreement.
Shouldn't you be going to the legislature to get appropriated money for things like these? If the state's going to create these entities and there's no revenue source behind them, then it seems like the state needs to pay for...
Have you ever seen the legislature give any money to rural Utah?
Or to an AOG?
The answer is no.
They are. I want to give some credit, though, to the legislature. They are helping us with positions, finally. We are getting positions through our AOG that are helping our counties better. So we are having some wins legislatively.
Okay.
But
I just don't want this to be a way to circumvent having those hard conversations with your legislators, because certainly if they're going to create these state-run AOGs, they have to fund them at a level that is adequate, right?
Well,
and so
yeah.
If we're coming in and giving you guys funding and that's preventing you from having to have those hard conversations with your legislators about what the adequate level of funding is, that's what I don't want, right? So,
yeah.
Sure. Commissioner Miles.
Who owns the building, or who will own the building?
The AOG. This will be the first time our AOG will own anything.
If you go defunct, who owns the building?
If we go defunct? I would imagine the counties would, because that's who pays dues. So the four counties would.
Bingo. I think the counties need to have some skin in the game, and the municipalities that are members of the AOG. That's just my thoughts.
So, question with Commissioner Miles's questions. So, this is, you're talking about sales tax. So, who is collecting that sales tax? Is it the county?
The vendor would be paying.
The vendor. The people that are selling the products.
But he'll pay it to the state. He'll pay it to the state.
It's supposed to be returned
to the state.
To the state to somehow get to the county should get their share, because it was.
The state's going to take it out of us and pay them.
So I guess my question is the state needs to look at what you're talking about.
Yeah. This isn't necessarily to fund state-created entities. That's what I'm saying. Like, this is to fund local municipalities And that's what I'm struggling with is, you know.
If you were to look at an AOG, you wouldn't identify it as a state agency. When we, if there were legislative dollars, we can't even receive it. It has to go through another agency. So we're technically not a state agency. We're a local, we're created by an interlocal agreement. And 50 years ago, AOGs were created by block grants. But we are not technically a state agency. We can't have any of that money funneled through us.
So where do you get your revenues? Sorry for my...
We have federal and state dollars, so mostly it's a federal source, so it's block grants or any kind of grants, so community service block grant, community development block grant. We also have federal ties with EDA, so we're not technically a state agency.
So workforce services, you're tied into workforce services pretty directly.
We partner a lot with them, and that's how a lot of the state funding, so those federal grants that are funneled through Department of Workforce Services funnel down to us, and they monitor, and yeah, so that's how it works.
Will this affect anybody's PILT money, the way it's being used with Mineral East through into the AOG?
I don't disagree with any of the comments that have been made. I've been frustrated by some of the very same things, especially getting any state funding for any AOG, any place. We've funded this project with $9 million, approximately somewhere in the neighborhood. We're about 5 weeks from the finish line and find out we're going to be short because of the sales tax that we will have to pay, and they don't really have a revenue source, and without a lot of time to work with counties or the state or anybody to try and come up with this funding, it's going to be long overdue for the final payment on this particular project. So I'm going to make a motion that we fund the AOG project with $395,000 grant.
I'll second that.
Motion made, Commissioner Adams, seconded by Commissioner Barthol.
Discussion?
Yes. Commissioner Lyle, please.
If we were to apply it to, maybe it's not even possible, and you can end the conversation quickly, Candace. Is it possible that this last $395,000 could be done as a loan? Okay.
Additional discussion?
Because of the...
Seeing none, Ms. Powers, call for a roll call vote, please.
Mr. Slaw?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
No.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
The motion passes.
Thank you so very much.
What, just for quick, as you're going out, and congratulations.
Thank you.
What will you be missing if you didn't get the money?
It would just short us on being able to complete some of the end products like that. What's in the one part of the building for our guts for us to have the technology,
the wiring and everything.
Yeah, that needs to be in the building. And a little bit, that's what it would cover, and the engineering costs, the extra engineering costs that we have to pay.
No other landscaping or anything?
No, it's not under that.
Okay.
Thank you. Next up, yes, Ms. Powers. Yeah, we're almost finished. Next up on the agenda is under item 9, board member discussion and or action items. What's this 9-1 CIB board meeting October 5th? Just a discussion item regarding,
yeah.
Didn't we already have that discussion? Okay, we'll move on to item 9-2. Seven County Infrastructure Coalition, update on projects, approval of administrative funding. This is the fourth and final tranche.
for $750,000. Welcome, Ms. Powers. Any brief comments on the request?
I just want to remind the board, which is new, that we've already, well, not you, Commissioner Lyon. A lot of the board wasn't here when this original funding was authorized. It was funded, as indicated here. The original funding was $5 million. They have proceeded to focus on rural projects and big projects. This is the fourth tranche of what was authorized in April 4th, 2019. The authorization included the requirement that they come in and report before each quarterly tranche. This is the final tranche, and they are here to tell you of great things.
Welcome, gentlemen. Please introduce yourselves for the to the board and to the public.
Yeah. Good morning, barely. Keith Heaton, director of the Seven County Infrastructure Coalition. President Barton.
It's Brian Barton, Jones and DeMille.
And Holly, Jones and DeMille.
Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you. I want to commend the board to start off with on your foresight. 10 years ago, when this organization was created, no one knew what was going to be happening in the world, let alone in the state of Utah. About 4 years ago, when you refunded the Seven County Infrastructure Coalition, we were lucky if there was one oil pump in the Uinta Basin pumping oil. I am pleased to report that things have changed significantly. Again, in great part due to the foresight that some of you sitting here today had. So thank you for that. Extraction of waxy crude in the Uinta Basin last year exceeded historic levels. Now, the price is somewhat moderated. We've seen higher prices, but the amount has never been higher. No one expected that even 2-3 years ago. Yesterday, I was in a meeting with the Utah Petroleum Association, and the estimated revenues that are coming in to the CIB from extraction in throughout the state, but in particular in the Uinta Basin, is nearly doubled in 22 versus what it was in 21, and all indicators are that it will double again in 23. That's money coming back directly to the CIB. Directly to CIB. And those same percentages are across the board in other funds. Tax revenue is estimated to be over $120 million due to the efforts that in large part have been conducted by the Seven County Infrastructure Coalition. One of the things that we paid for, CIB and the coalition, you pay for it, we do the work, was a study to show what in fact could be the case with waxy crude in the Uinta Basin. Historically, for those of you who aren't informed, which I doubt is anyone sitting around the table, but we'll just assume that, that there are others listening in, about 80,000 barrels go to the Salt Lake City refineries. And historically, this has been where all of the waxy crude has gone. And because of that, the refineries paid a discounted price of about 15%, sometimes a little bit higher, sometimes a little bit lower. Because of the study that you paid for showing that the oil could be shipped to the Gulf Coast and put into global markets, that discount has all but disappeared. So now we are getting, the oil producers in the basin are getting the full West Texas intermediate price for oil. Okay. The discount has all but disappeared. Because of the study that we conducted, Uinta Wax, through Jim Findlay, is shipping about 60,000 barrels to the Gulf Coast. So that is almost doubled the historic production in the basin, which is why we're at a record level. We're no longer capped at the $80,000 barrel with a 15% discount. We're now in open global markets, full price, nearly double production. If you look at a chart of where we are and where we will be in 6 years when the railroad is completed, you're all familiar with the railroad because that's your project. You funded it. Preaching to the choir. We will double again production, which will again double revenue that comes back to the CIB. Now, the reason I say this is because it's a very difficult choice that each of you has, and I am all too familiar with that choice of, do you fund the rodeo grounds? That's the heart of the community. You know, if you don't fund that, you're ripping out their heart. You don't fund their swimming pool. You know, what does that do for the families and the children? You make those decisions every month about funding or not funding that. And when you fund an organization like the Coalition with millions of dollars, we understand the gravity of that decision in tugging at the heartstrings of these local communities. I don't need to tell you that without the CIB, we really don't have rural communities. You go into any community in Utah, whether it's an extractive community or not, and you take away the projects that CIB has funded, and what are you left with? Brian?
Not a lot.
Not a lot. The people. Because they're hardy people, and they'd be there regardless of whether they had anything. They may burn to the ground every 10 years. They may be digging holes in the sand to try to get water. They may be digging holes to bury the you-know-what. Bruce knows what. But they'd still be there because they're hardy. So we appreciate your faith in the Coalition and, again, your wisdom in funding us. Again, 2019, $5 million was allocated in four tranches. We're here today for the final tranche. And, $4 million. I'm sorry.
Three.
I'm always trying to get an extra million. There's only three. You're right. Candace is right. Candace is right. I misspoke. Yeah. So we're here for the final 750. We're pleased to announce that we've been stretching that money. Again, we understand the value of it and the sacrifices that each person in Utah makes because that money is going here instead of somewhere else. And so rather than 4 years, we're stretching that out to 5 years. We've been working as efficiently as we can. We've got some great things on the horizon. I'd be happy to get into those, but in the interest of time, I will turn it over back to the board.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Questions for the applicants? Chairman Zanotti.
I just want to make a motion to approve the final draw, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Motion made by Chairman Zanotti, seconded by Commissioner Adams. Any discussion on the motion?
I have some questions for the applicant, not necessarily related to the final tranche or the funding, but I'm happy to do that after the vote or before.
Go ahead.
I just didn't want to miss the chance to speak to SCIC because we don't see him very often. So could you give us an update on the rail project and how that's coming along? Do you expect the financing close to be anytime soon? When should the CIB expect to get their whatever $29 million back? Just an update on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Have to do that.
Yeah.
Assistant Treasurer. The railroad is coming along very nicely. Building a railroad is no small feat. It's far more complicated than I realized. But we are making tremendous progress. And to try to put it as succinctly as possible, raising the private equity stack, including the capital, is very complicated. We're working with our private partner is working with several multinational conglomerates that are household names. If I were able to share these names, you would say, oh yeah, that's a big dog. And the commitments have been made, but they have not been disclosed. Because you're dealing with the Securities and Exchange Commission, and the SEC says, you know, insider trading. So to put together an equity stack of ownership in this, new corporations are created from these international behemoths. And you understand this. So they don't they don't disclose who's working on these deals, but I can assure you that they've been done. The capital stack is coming together. I'm sure you all heard about the private activity bonding that we intend to act as a conduit issuer of. We're still several months out on that as they put together the rest of the equity stack, because the amount that we petition for in private activity bonds depends on how much private equity comes in on the other side and what those balances look like and who's in what position and all of those things. So, again, there's just a lot of moving pieces to that, but it is coming together. It's happening slower than any of us would like. We expect presently that towards the end of the year, hopefully Thanksgiving time, this all comes together. We move forward with the private activity bonding. We put all that together. We move forward with the final phase to actually start construction sometime next year, as we've been intending now for several years. One bit of good news aside from the private side is that in 2019, one of the things that happened in addition to being supported by this group is that the coalition turned over the property right-of-way acquisition and optioning to our private partners. At this point, we're taking that back, and we'll be moving forward with the coalition actually handling taking care of right-of-way and options and dealing with property owners. So just some behind the scenes there, but that will move things forward and alleviate some of the concerns that we hear locally. Those who own property on the, you know, in the proposed corridor have been concerned about. So we're excited to kind of bring that back to our end. Again, we'll just be mainly securing options on that rather than actually purchasing the right-of-ways, because, again, that's something that our private partners are doing. And so, you know, the options are a low-cost way of making sure that we have an agreement on that and that everything is secured. So those are some of the things that are happening in a nutshell.
Okay, so did I hear you say that potentially the bond closing would be towards the end of the year and that we can expect to see the $29 million come back then? Is that the intent, or?
The $29 million will come back to the CIB when we sell our interest in the project, which will likely be springtime of 2024, if I'm guessing.
Okay. Spring of 2024. Nice. One more question, if I could. I know everybody's hungry, so I'll make it quick. But to this point, I think CIB has been the primary funding source for your budget and mm-hmm. revenue. What's the intent to fund SCIC going forward? This is the final tranche, I think. I don't know that. I think you would have to come back if you wanted
right.
CIB to continue to fund SCIC. I don't know if that's really in the plans or not, but what is your plan to fund SCIC going forward if it's not to come to CIB next year?
Thank you. A part of the plan is to continue to work with CIB on these types of projects. But having said that, in addition, our agreement with our private partners outlines that we would receive an annual payment for the railroad for 30 years at the time of purchase. So we get, you know, the $28 million back that we will pay back to the CIB.
27.9.
And then we'll receive an amount on top of that, which will tremendously help with the operating costs of the coalition. Also, if we do move forward with private activity bonding, there are fees, conduit issuer fees associated with that. And over the life of a 30 to 40 year bond, between $1.5 billion and $2 billion, even those 0.5% of fees would be significant for an organization like ours to continue operations and reinvest in projects similar to the railroad. So we have other sources. We also work with other state funding agencies on specific projects. Compared to the CIB, those are small potatoes and hardly worth mentioning, but they are there. Again, so depending on the projects that we're doing, the types of projects that we're doing, we would go to other funders whether those are state or federal, for funding as well.
Project specific, though.
But they would be project specific.
As an incubator, in right. essence. Of that.
Yes. Our intention is that the railroad and the agreements we presently have in place would be sufficient to maintain the operations of the organization rather than relying on the CIB.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Powers, call for a roll call vote, please.
This is for the final tranche, $750,000, which will be contracted out as this month. Treasurer Slaw.
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
A little discussion to my vote, or not vote. Advice from Attorney General's representative, Chris Piper, is that I don't want to put words in your mouth, but as I heard them, that it would be wise or advised
abstain.
To recuse myself from the vote. That is advice well received, but as it relates to the law, I believe I would be entitled to vote, even though I'm on both boards. I'll use that as disclosure. And as a county commissioner, or if I were in a county that was directly related to this, I don't receive any personal gain by being on both boards or with any decisions either board would make. I believe for appearance's sake, there's wisdom in the opportunity to recuse myself, and I will do that. But I want to be clear that if I chose to vote, I would be legally within my rights to do it and within the law to vote yea or nay.
Brief response, Mr. Chair, if that's okay. So thank you for raising the issue. I think under the Board Vacancies and Conflicts Act, it makes clear that when a disclosure has been made, and I'm assuming
disclosure
of your involvement on the board of the Seven County Infrastructure Coalition is filed and in place.
It is.
And so under that act, it's clear that you would be able to vote. Under the Ethics Act, which also applies, there is some degree of ambiguity, which is why I recommend recusal. I think recusal also makes it easier to defend the integrity of the decision as a whole moving forward. If there is any kind of problem that's raised, that we would be able to easily, come back and say, look, their vote was not part of the final decision. So I think that's where my recommendation is coming from. I'm happy to go offline and kind of discuss the provisions of the Ethics Act that I think have some.
And I understand those, and that's why I spoke to at least even the opportunity for appearance of anything that would be a conflict. In the worlds that we live in, we all have potential appearances depending on the eye looking at us of that. But I also want to make sure that within the rules and the disclosures that I still retain the right to vote yes or no, even with the other, in this specific circumstance, that there is an opportunity that if I were to vote yes or no, that I would be within the law on that particular part, yet on the ethics part, and I'm three ways ethics, or four or five even, but I believe there's a risk averseness, and what's easy isn't always make right, but I am respectful of your comment and recuse myself.
Yeah, and I'll just add that I think my a risk analysis here is escalated because this is a business entity, for lack of a better term, rather than a public entity. And so I think involvement on the board of a business entity raises an association of government.
I would discuss, we're an entity of the state of Seven County. There may be projects in particular that have private partnerships, but I believe we're a public entity.
Okay. We are.
As Seven County Infrastructure.
Yeah, is that under the interlocal?
We are an interlocal.
Association of government? Okay.
Yeah, and I'm not being combative in my sense.
Sure.
I think this is educational for both of us. I'll get over it.
Okay.
It's not combative.
Okay.
It is, I think, healthy discussion from my perspective both of us.
I suppose an interlocal, I think, escalates it a little bit more than just the board of a.
Understood.
A
and I respect your comments, and in so doing, recuse myself.
Please continue, Ms. Powers.
Mayor Baker.
Yes.
Commissioner Miles.
I would also like to ditto what Commissioner Lytle said and also add, and I recognize I'm not a state legislator. State legislators file their disclosures in a back room somewhere, and it's never spoken of again. And they don't get any heartburn. So I will also recuse myself. Thank you.
I would agree that requirements for executive branch officials are much more extreme than for legislative branch officials when it comes to disclosure and recusal related to conflicts. So you're right.
Commissioner Taylor.
Yes.
Commissioner Brown.
Yes.
Commissioner Adams.
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Zanotti.
Aye.
No worries. You. That motion passes.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yes. I need to recall the Southeastern Utah motion that I made because they're going to finish the project before we fund.
No, so if it's supplemental, it's automatically
funded. It's automatically funded, so we don't have to
easy, Mitch. Just kind of
okay, Miss Makowski, whatever you say.
So I want to remind everyone we have hot lunch up here. I want to welcome members of the audience, staff, to join the board for lunch. Unfortunately, I've got to hit the road, so I won't make lunch. Thank you, everyone, for a great meeting, and we'll adjourn at
12:28.
12:28
for lunch.